WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
The countdown is here. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, the countdown edition. The first race of the NHRA playoff system is this weekend, the Pep Boys NHRA Carolina Nationals at Z-Max Dragway. And we have got a great show for you this week. We're going to go back to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals Winners Edition Part 2. Eddie Krawick and Shane Gray are going to join us on the show, the ones that got away. Well, we caught up with them this past week to talk about their victories in the biggest drag race on the planet. We've also got some great guests to talk about this upcoming week, the first race of the countdown. We've got Tony Schumacher going to join us on the show, the seven-time champ, going to preview Z-Max Dragway, talk about how he feels going into the countdown, how he felt marching to a victory at the U.S. Nationals to be defeated by 1/1000th of a second. We'll talk to Tony on this show. Also on this show, he is a safety icon, a pioneer, invented the drag race parachute, the fire suit, the five-point harness, the three-inch wide belt. You know him as Bill Simpson. I ran into Bill at Lucas Oil Raceway and invited him on the show, and he is going to be on this show. We're going to find out all about his new project with Chip Ganassi, SG Helmets. A lot of the helmets in the NFL are being made by Bill Simpson and Chip Ganassi. We'll hear about it on this show. Also on the show, big news involving Star Racing and Michael Ray. They have split. Why? Michael Ray is going to tell us all about it on this show, as well as his plans for this weekend. He's got a countdown berth. And Christian Bird, the general manager of Z-Max Dragway, are going to tell all you race fans exactly why you should pack up the car and head on down to Concord, North Carolina for the first race in the countdown. So we got Shane, we got Eddie, we got Tony, we got Bill Simpson, we got Christian Bird, we got Michael Ray, but we start them all off the same way with the voice of the NHRA. Alan Reinhart joins us now. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back. Sounds like you put together a heck of a show for an off week.
Yes. Well, a lot of it was carryover from last week, catching up with Bill Simpson. You know, he took my card and said, I'll call you, and it was just up in the air. Well, he called, and we did the interview, and we're going to play that on the show. And, of course, Eddie and Shane didn't catch up with them on site, but caught up with them now. And the Michael Ray story, that was just happening around us. I figured I'd give him a call and see where he's at. So it's going to be an entertaining one. If they're driving to Z-Max, this could get them at least halfway there, I think.
Have you read Bill Simpson's book?
Yes. Well, the second one, the sequel to Racing Safely, Living Dangerously, called Through the Fire. I have it here.
I haven't read the second one, but the first one is a fascinating read for a guy that literally lived a lot of history, and like a lot of people probably don't understand his whole background. I mean, stuff like raced in the Indy 500, that's kind of cool, and you know, the way he got started in the business, but anyway, he's a fascinating guy. I could sit and talk to him for hours.
Do you not have a copy of the second one, Through the Fire?
I do not.
You want to swap, and I'll read yours?
I'm going to hit up Amazon as soon as I get off the phone here.
Or I'll let you borrow this one, and you can let me borrow yours. Either way, great, okay. Great book.
Look forward to it. Look forward to it. Yeah, he's a fascinating guy, and you know, a very driven guy also for, you know, trying to make everything he can safer.
In his book, one of his final lines, and I'm going to mention it several times on the show, is just that he had longed for the day that he could get out to a racetrack and just enjoy some great racing as a fan and appreciate the true love for the sport. And so I basically asked him if he was able to do that at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, and he is going to talk about that. I'm very happy to have him on the show. But also, Eddie and Shane and the whole Michael Ray situation, that's kind of a shock.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that really saw that one coming. They obviously have struggled a little bit for the past couple of races, but anybody that knows George Bryce's history in the sport knows that, you know, he is a guy that is going to find a way to get it done and to win. And if you go through some struggles from time to time, so, you know, whatever was going on internally, I have no idea, but I was pretty surprised by the whole thing as well.
A very delicate situation because, as you said, we don't know anything that's going on, but fans are curious, and so I asked Michael some questions. One question I did not really ask him, because I wasn't exactly sure how it works, we're going to have people ask you some questions today, but I'm going to ask you one now about the countdown. Like, you're my driver, and we make the countdown. I'm the team owner, you're the driver, you make the countdown, we make the countdown, except now you're not my driver anymore. You can still be in the countdown, but I cannot?
That's correct.
Okay. That's kind of how I understand it.
In drag racing, the points are awarded to the driver. It is, always been that way. I don't see it changing. You know, if you start making exceptions, if you start making, if the points were calculated any other way, Greg Anderson would have been in the countdown easily because obviously his team ran the first five races even though he wasn't in the car. And, that's just not the way it is. The points go with the driver, always have, and I don't know if they'll always will. Always is a long time. But, so Michael Ray now would be in the countdown if he could find a bike to ride. And I would assume, and again, I have no idea what was going on internally, but I would assume that if you have a contract in place that there is something in there that says, hey, if, whatever... Joe and Allen Racing, okay, you're the team owner and I'm the driver. And we have decided that, hey, we're going in on this deal. Whatever we win, we split 50-50. Okay, you provide me with a car, I provide you with my skills as a rider. Maybe I bring some sponsorship to the table, maybe whatever. But whatever purse money we win, we split 50-50. Well, at this point, I would think that whatever bonus money comes at the end of the year, the team owner would have some kind of a claim to at least a percentage of it based on the fact that that's money that you earned during part of that partnership. And again, I would assume that you and I would have that in the contract. So, if for whatever reason we split up, I go, hey, Joe, I don't like you anymore. Your socks don't match. I quit. That I would still owe you the percentage, whatever it would be, of what we earned together, because that, at least part of, we earn together. Even if I go out now and win the championship, then I guess there would be some gray area. But if you go into the countdown as the number five seed, then I would think that, hey, there would have to be some kind of compensation there, and I would think contractually that would be covered.
And it's something we discuss some things with Michael, not that in depth as you can imagine. But that is what I was thinking about. I was thinking about George Bryce. I have no dog in the fight, nor do I know what it is about, but I think, wow, they ran all year long, and one of his bikes made the countdown, except he's not going to be in the countdown. So I thought that's got to be a little bit of a sore subject. And Michael will reveal his plan for the weekend on the interview coming up on the show in just a little bit. Kind of an interesting situation. Something else that is going on, the newsmakers are wreaking havoc with our program because we caught up with Christian Bird a little bit earlier, a couple days ago, actually, preparing for Z-Max Dragway, and we talked a little bit about the early evening sessions that we were all excited for. Well, it looks like there has been a schedule change, and those early evening sessions that we were looking forward to are not going to happen.
Yeah, and I don't know what the reasoning was behind that. I haven't heard anything other than I just basically got the memo that said, hey, here's the new schedule, plan accordingly. So, I just don't know. I'm not going to speculate on it. But Z-Max is a terrific facility. It's a great surface. Give us good weather, and we could see records fall. Obviously, the first three-second funny car run was made there. We've just seen some tremendous history take place at that facility, even though we're only going to be running two lanes of it this time, not the four also know that there's some people on our end that are scrambling around with that, you know, flights, reservation stuff that, you know, hey, as long as I'm at the track by you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock, I'll be fine. And now that there are going to be some changes going on. So I don't know what the reasoning was behind it, but I really don't think it'll have a negative effect on the show. I think, you know, the Carolina fans have always come out and supported as well, and hopefully they'll continue to do so. I know it makes it a little bit easier, you know, on guys like me and you, because no matter what time we leave the track, that doesn't change the fact that we have to be there early in the morning. So if they're scheduled to run late into the evening, you know, whether it's 8, 9, 10, we still got to be back early in the morning, and if we're scheduled to get out of there early, it makes it for a little bit more enjoyable work week for those of us that have to be there for all the hours the cars are running.
Hear, hear. Totally agree. Well, although I would willfully trade that for a little nitro at night. Graham Light's quote is, "We regret any inconvenience this may present for our fans, but the changes are being made for competition considerations." And that's the quote. So, you know, it is what it is, and we'll just show up when they say.
We'll be ready to go, and I think by the end of the event, you know, it won't make a whole lot of difference in the outcome. You know, I know that the teams, especially with so much on the line, will feel a whole lot better about having qualifying sessions closer to the time of day and the conditions that they're going to have to race in. I know one thing that has been, I don't know if concern is the right word, but has been a question, is a couple of times when we've run, you know, 4 and 7 or 3 and 6, are your qualifying sessions on Friday and Saturday, and then you come in Sunday, first round's 11 o'clock, and some of the teams are going, really? I mean, it's almost like, you know, you're making us qualify when it's whatever, you're making us qualify in the rain and making us race in the sun, and that's, you know, doesn't, you know, it's the same for everybody, but everybody is being penalized equally instead of everybody being, you know, everybody having fair opportunities to try to set up your race car during the conditions that you at least think you're going to race in.
What, one more angle on that, and this is an uninformed question coming out of me, but what about if we had an early evening session at a track that you have already said has been record-setting, could that be such a great time in a perfect weather condition as we're moving into fall in the Carolinas that it unduly sets the record in a way that it could not be set anywhere else? Do you follow what I'm saying? Like, if the conditions at that time in that area on that track would be so Candyland that records would fall and never be reset until that place again?
You know, I don't know how much of a concern that really is. You know, certainly that's happened over the years. You know, you look at Reading, even though it wasn't necessarily an evening session, but conditions just come together to the point where it's like, holy cow, you know, we might not see this again for 3 years, and that might be how long the record stands. I don't know that that's really a huge part of the concern. I know, you know, going back a few years, that the whole Friday night thing started with, you know, for a number of years at a lot of tracks, there was one run Thursday, one run Friday, and then two Saturday. And the professional teams basically lobbied NHRA about, you know, not having to come in to make the one run on Thursday, because for everyone who's running a business or who is doing something other than racing for a living, you know, it's a lot of extra days that you're away from your office that you have to be at the racetrack. You know, you can go back to a time when Ed McCullough would drive the Coletta cars on Thursday, so they'd have the test run, and then they'd basically withdraw and re-enter when Scott and Connie would show up at the racetrack on Friday. So even though that Thursday run wouldn't count for qualifying, they still would get to make the run for a test run, if nothing else. The trade-off then came with, you know what, we won't make you guys run on Thursday, but we'll run an evening session on Friday, and that'll be a big boon for the track operators, you know, to put together the Friday night show. And a number of tracks had a ticket on Friday night that you come out and buy a ticket at 5 o'clock for, you know, half of the day cost or whatever, knowing that you're only going to see one session. And that, for a while, was a nice perk that a number of the tracks did. After a couple of years, it got to the point where basically nobody was coming to buy a ticket at 5 o'clock. If you were coming on Friday, you know, you'd either take off at noon or take the day off and come watch both sessions. So the Friday night session wasn't as much of a necessity as it had been in the past. And so I think now they're leaning back a little bit more towards doing less of the real late night sessions, and more of the, you know, racing afternoon, early evening on Friday, and then noon, early afternoon on Saturday, so that you get to, you get a feel for at least the hours a day and hopefully the conditions that you're going to be racing in.
Very interesting stuff, and obviously vital and important nuts and bolts aspect of the sport. All right, I got a couple of questions for you, and then obviously we want to talk countdown because this is playoff time. It should feel different. This is different. This is a big deal. Right now, there are 10 drivers that have a virtually, not exactly mathematically, equal opportunity, but very close. At the end of this weekend, someone will be in a much better position.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, obviously getting off on the right foot is big. You know, with six races, you can have a mulligan. And you certainly don't want to use your mulligan first. But, you know, if to use the football analogy, if the first play of the Super Bowl you score a touchdown, that's not going to guarantee you a Super Bowl win, but it sure takes some of the pressure off. If the first play of the Super Bowl you throw an interception for a touchdown the other way, then you really put your back against the wall. So, you know, everybody obviously wants to get off on a good note. You know, you look at what happened last year. Pro Stock is a classic example. Jade Coughlin came in, what, third or fourth, wins Carolina, moves up to second. And then that kind of set the tone for the rest of the countdown. So that's big. You know, you also look at Robert Height in, what was 09, I believe, his championship season, where he just barely snuck into the top 10 and then went on a tear once he got there. Now, you know, could that happen with a Steve Johnson or a Tim Wilkerson or, you know, a guy who basically just locked his spot at the last minute? Could one of those people get hot right now and make the move? It certainly could happen. Is it a long shot? Probably. Is it impossible? Definitely not. You know, if you get close enough that you can see the front, then sometimes that's a whole lot more incentive. And, you know, for a guy like Tim, who has shown that he can get aggressive, he's got nothing to lose. Nobody expects him to go out right now and win the championship. So why wouldn't he go out if the conditions are due for it? And instead of trying to run, you know, his normal 410 or 412, why wouldn't he go out and try to run 402? You know, qualify in the top two or three. And like I said, nobody expects him to win it, so why not take a big swing? And that's one of the things that makes the countdown exciting. Obviously, the drama leading up to it, you know, who's going to be in, who's not, and now that we're here, you know, there's going to be some guys that take a big swing because they've got basically nothing to lose.
And that's what we love about it. And you never know. You win this first race, you get a big jump in the points, and you can. What have we figured out, Alan? I mean, I know there's probably a formula, but if you can go to three finals in the countdown, you're going to be pretty close.
Historically speaking, yes. That, you know, John last year went to five, and that made it pretty simple for him. But, you know, yeah, it historically speaking, you get to three finals, you're going to be pretty good. That certainly bodes well for a guy like Doug Coletta, who seems to be in the final every week. You know, you look at a guy like Antron, who also has had a great season. But to go back to the motorcycle thing, you know, how many people believe that Steve Johnson can go and win in Charlotte and put himself right in the thick of this championship? You know, if you pulled the fans and said, okay, here's your 10 guys, pick who's most likely to win, Steve is not going to be on the top of that list. But if you'd have taken that same poll the week before we went to Gainesville, Steve wouldn't have been on the top of that list either, but he left Gainesville with the trophy. So once you get there, anything can happen. And, you know, one of those people that's down in the, you know, 9, 10, 11 spot, you know, you look at what Jonathan Gray did last week. The pressure's on. You have to perform if you want to be in. And he did it. Well, now the pressure's on. If you really want to prove you're a championship contender, you're going to have to keep playing at that level. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he can maintain that focus and that drive. You know, the fact that they're not going to run the fourth car, I really think is a good thing for the team. The rumor out there, of course, was that Johnny Gray would be driving a fourth Pro Stock car for Gray Motorsports. I don't think they need the distraction. You know, they showed in Indy that their cars are performing at least up to the level of everybody else in the field. And why would you now do anything to take focus off of the three cars that you have in the championship, you know, even if the team owner does want to drive a car? You know, look, boss, this is too important. You know, we'll let you drive one next year. But I think the team made a wise decision not to bring out the fourth car because they don't need the distraction right now.
I agree with that. Of course, just sitting on the sidelines, you might not have information that the teams have. But I think there are a couple of examples. Erica Enders Stevens, who is second in the points heading into the countdown, and Richie Stevens, who is going to run many of these races. That question is going to be looming. Who knows what will happen? Maybe she will dominate and win the championship thanks to information that is shared between the two drivers, or Richie will defeat her closest opponent in the points. We don't know how it's going to go, but my natural inclination is to what you just said regarding the Gray family. Whatever you've been doing, just keep doing it. Don't add responsibility or potential trouble. Do your thing. It's tough enough already.
And I think part of it, and with the Richie Stevens thing, and, you know, I honestly don't know. I didn't get a chance to go over and spend much time with him or talk to him in Indy. You know, if he is running his own operation, obviously it said Elite on the door, but he's got an engine from them, and yeah, Rick and Ricky Jones built a car for him at RJ Race Cars, but they build a number of them out there. If he is running independently and just using one of their motors, then I don't see that being a huge issue. But if he is relying on Rick and Ricky Jones to help him, you know, with the chassis calls and with, you know, if he's relying on Elite for more than just, you know, here's your engine, now leave us alone, then I think that could be a distraction. And I honestly don't know how the team is structured. My understanding from talking to the Grays last week, and part of it was Shane in the press room, was that if they brought out a fourth car, that they basically would all be pitching in to help run that fourth car, which would have been a distraction to the other three. And at that point, I think that, you know, I think it's a very wise move not to run the fourth car. But, you know, time will tell. And, you know, hey, what do I know? I'm just a stinking announcer.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? At the end of the day, at the end of it all, we don't really know. And it could go either way, regardless. All right, I've decided to cut the questions segment to trim the questions segment. And I'll tell you why, Alan. We got all these interesting countdown discussions, and a couple of the questions are, I'll give you one of them, which is just like, hey, why no Pro Stock Motorcycles at Brainerd? I want the listener, Jeff from Minnesota, to know that we did get the question. We can address that at another time. But basically, I think it's just because they ran four wide instead.
Yeah, they, you know, the number of motorcycle races is pretty much fixed. And they have shuffled them a little bit over the years as far as, you know, where they go and what they do. And the motorcycles, as a group, wanted to be included in the four-wide. And so it's like, okay, well, which one are we going to trade out then? And I think that it just ended up being Brainerd. I know, you know, certainly there's a lot of motorcycle fans up there, a lot of motorcycle contingent up there, but they just had to pull it from someplace, and they decided that it was going to be Brainerd.
And this next one that makes the show, this one from Josh, or John, rather, regarding John Force, what is he saying? That the WFO, what the WFO is up, Alan and Joe? I was watching the U.S. Nationals, and during the coverage of the Traxxas shootout, John said, quote, Castrol is trying to put something together, and was wondering if you, Alan, had any insight on that, says John.
I do not. I know that, you know, the discussions have been ongoing. You know, obviously they've got a lot invested. They've got a long-term relationship. And I have zero inside information. But again, to go back to, you know, the Joe and Alan race team, we've been sponsored by ABC Company for all these years to the tune of, you know, $10 a year. Well, all of a sudden budgets change, things change. They don't want to do this anymore. But maybe they say, you know what, you're still going to need to use ABC products. So instead of paying you $10 a year, how about if we pay you $250 a year, put us on the fender, and we'll give you the products. We, you know, we want to stay involved. We want to do something with your team. You know, we're not just running away forever. We just aren't going to stay in at the level that we used to be. And that's pure speculation on my part. I have no idea what's going on over there. You know, obviously John's having a terrific season, and it's quite possible that that the powers that be are reevaluating a little bit and deciding that, hey, maybe, you know, even if we don't stay in at the same level, maybe we do need to stay involved, or maybe, you know, that John has performed to the point that they've decided, you know what, this is a program that we can't give up on. We need to get back. So anything that would keep Castrol involved, anything that would keep them involved in the sport, involved with John Force, I think is good. You know, obviously the more the better. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I have no inside information whatsoever. That's just pure speculation from a guy who's been around the sport for a while and has seen some of these deals come and go before.
Allow me to purely speculate as well with zero inside information. All I look at it is I know Castrol put a lot of money into the World Cup, and I know that because during every game I saw Castrol on the sidelines of the pitch, and that can't be cheap. You know, the World Cup, it's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
That's over now. I also know that John Force has been with Castrol for 30 years, and they are synonymous. And if John is getting older, and if John has got, let's call it, you know, 3 more years, or there is a limited amount of time, I would imagine, before John steps away, shouldn't he be with Castrol for those couple of years? Doesn't it almost, I don't want to say ruin, that's a bad word, but if you're with Castrol, if you can stay with this guy through the duration of his career, you've got something nice that can be promoted then for the next 20 years, as opposed to the baseball player or the football player. I think about our own Dan Marino, who retired a Dolphin and will be a Dolphin forever and is always viewed as a Dolphin by Dolphin fans, as opposed to the player who goes on and catches on with another team for one or two seasons and muddies the water of the legacy, so to speak. I think it would be beneficial for Castrol to do something to keep John under their wing.
I would agree with that 100%. And, you know, I also think, and since we're speculating and you came up 3 years, I'm gonna use your three-year figure. You know, John has said that he's going to keep driving until he just falls over. But, you know, think about the fan base. Think about the number of people that buy Castrol GTX because of John Force. If you invest 2 more years or 3 more years in him, that customer is probably going to be a legacy customer forever. If you drop him now and he goes with, you know, Joe and Allen's oil company for the last couple of years, me as a John Force fan might follow my driver.
Angry, yes.
And then, you know, it's not just that you've lost my oil purchase for the next couple of years, but maybe for the next 10 years. So, you know, who knows? I mean, there's obviously we're all just throwing ideas up in the air here and see which one will float.
That is fun, though, and that's what Sports Talk Radio is pretty much devised of, second-guessing and speculation.
Well, I can tell you that I make a lot of decisions based on who's involved in my sport. And, you know, do I use cases and cases of spray paint? No. Do I have a dozen cans of spray paint in my shop? Absolutely. And from here on out, I will buy Rust-Oleum, even though the closest hardware store where I normally go grab my stuff doesn't have Rust-Oleum. You know, it's just a little kind of mom-and-pop shop. But I now will seek out and go buy Rust-Oleum strictly because they've shown an interest in my sport, and I will support them. You know, if somebody goes away from my sport, I'm certainly not saying, well, I'll never buy another one of your products. But if somebody goes away and somebody else comes in, I will support the new sponsor because they support my sport.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, and maybe the mom-and-pop shop will start to carry Rust-Oleum to keep your business.
Well, you know, and I'm not a big tequila drinker. But, you know, hey, every now and then, right, you're out with your buddies, you're at the bar, hey, let's do a shot of tequila. I always order Patron because they support my sport. And, you know, is it a couple bucks more than the house? Yeah, absolutely. Am I enough of a tequila aficionado to know the difference? Probably not. But I still am going to spend my money on the people that spend their money in drag racing because that's my sport. So, you know, hopefully, that's the whole idea of sponsorship, is getting out in front of your potential customers. And, you know, why did Castrol get so involved in the World Cup? Because it is a huge worldwide venture that has eyeballs everywhere. I understand that completely. But I still think that they do a lot of business strictly because of their association with John Force for all these years, and hopefully they can, hopefully all of the powers that be can find a way to continue that relationship at some level.
Absolutely agree. All right, let's get into some nuts and bolts. I don't think we should pick winners for the countdown this year just because it's almost like throwing a dart with your, you know, blindfold on. But I do notice, like, let's talk Top Fuel, Alan. Doug Coletta, Antron Brown are probably the top tier. Richie Crampton is coming on real strong. Those Morgan Lucas guys have got something figured out over the past two races. Tony Schumacher, Sean Langdon, obviously defending champ. That to me seems like the top tier of guys who have the best chance to win a championship. Guys like Torrance, Spencer, Khaled, Brittany, and JR, they feel like they have slightly less chance than that first group that I mentioned.
I think it's, judging by the early part of the season, I see where that conclusion comes from. But I also think that the countdown has changed things over the past few years, and it'll be interesting to see what happens over the course of the next couple of weeks. I know for a fact that some teams in the past have spent the summer experimenting, and come countdown time, it's like, okay, now it's time to go racing. You look at what Tommy DeLago and Matt Hagen did a couple of years ago. Was it 11 or 12 when he won the championship? And I literally spoke to Tommy DeLago when we were on the West Coast Swing, and I said, man, you're not running very good. And it wasn't exactly a secret. And he told me, he said, I'm fine. He said, I've got all my countdown stuff set aside. He said, when countdown starts, he says, just watch. He said, right now I'm working on some new stuff. I'm trying. I'm experimenting with some things. And, you know, it doesn't really count until we get in the countdown. And then obviously they got in the countdown, they went on a tear, and they went and won the championship. So I know that there are teams out there that approach it like that. And I don't necessarily know which ones. I think, you know, Steve Torrance, all those semifinals to start the season, and now the car's running pretty good again. You know, he's back in the final. They went through a little bit of a slump, but, you know, were they experimenting? Were they testing? Were they playing with stuff? Are they now ready to race? I don't know. I think it'll be very interesting to see with four races in 4 weeks. It's like, it's time to go now, boys and girls. Let's get after this thing. And as good as Brittany has run all year, I will be very surprised if she doesn't win a race before the end of the year. If she wins one of the next two or three, all of a sudden, she's going to be right there in contender status. So I think it's too early to tell. I agree with, you know, your assessment of who's been running well up to now, but I don't think there's any way to predict how many teams have been, I don't know, either holding back or experimenting, or how many teams are now going to change, go into race mode, and then step up.
Interesting. And in Funny Car, it's kind of the same in that John and Robert have been, they're 1 and 2 in points, and also have been the class of the field for most of the season at different times. John, even though it was a heartbreaking defeat in the final round of the U.S. Nationals, he was just thousands of a second from doubling up and having a tremendous victory for the ages at the same time. He's been to, I think you said, 6 straight final rounds?
Yeah, he has been to 6 straight final rounds. And it looks like Jimmy Prock does his experimenting and qualifying. You know, you look at the U.S. Nationals, a classic example. John and Robert qualify 8 and 9. Dark Horse seems like a strange thing to call a U.S. Nationals champion, but I think Alexis is a car to watch out for. Tommy DeLago, who is now her crew chief, knows how to work the countdown structure, and Alexis now knows and believes that she can go out there and beat these guys. You know, it took a little bit of time for the team to gel and for the things to come together, but, you know, you look at her on race day, and I think she is going to be a very, very tough car to deal with in the countdown. And the Indy win, I think, really just made it even more so. You know, if she goes out there and loses that final 403 to 403, you still know you got a great race car. You still know that, you know, you can go out and run with these guys on any given day. But you go out there and win that race, and now it's a little more bounce in your step. You know, there's a difference between thinking you can do it and knowing you can do it, and that team right now knows they can do it. I also think, you know, you go back to, you talk about, you know, how John was just a few thousandths from having a terrific day. If Alexis's car doesn't have that malfunction in the second round of the Traxxas shootout, who's to say John even wins that race?
Interesting.
And so that Patron car right now, I'm putting up close to the top of the heap, based on history, based on momentum, and based on the Tommy DeLago factor.
looking at the points list and just thinking, like, all right, who am I going to just count out? there's not really anybody that I feel comfortable just counting out in the top 10. And that's what's to be enjoyed here, folks. That's what's great about it. In pro stock, Jason Lyon did not win the U.S. Nationals, but he looked really strong. The Brainerd win, confidence, personally feeling great, got a great attitude about it. Of course, Erica, they are working a strategy that we discussed a few moments ago. Alan Johnson and Jeg, without a doubt, Jeg is capable of winning three out of the final six or more. Dave Connolly started the season knowing that this is his best chance to win a pro stock championship. Rumors circulating about his future, may not even be in the class in the future, so a couple of wins would be tremendous. Guys like Vincent Nobile, who are close at all times. Maybe there are a couple of drivers that you could say probably won't win the championship, but there's still many that could.
I believe that Jason, I think the motivation over there now with Greg not making it is very strong. I also think that Greg not making it could be good for Jason in the long run, because now you all of a sudden have got a guinea pig, and Greg has nothing to lose. He can't win the championship anyway. He can't, you know, does he want to win a race? Sure. But if you get out on track conditions and it's like, well, geez, we sure would like to try this, but I don't want to throw away a qualifying run, Greg can throw one away, because he's, you know, at this point, and I really think that that gives that team a big advantage. You know, Jeggy's, and I have nothing respect but respect for Jeg Coughlin, so please don't take this, you know, I'm chucking him under the bus. He needs to learn to turn to light green. You know, you look at all of the times that he's red lit, he does that twice in the early rounds in the countdown, and it's just going to make him that much tougher. It's going to make it that much tougher for him to overcome. Is the team good enough? Absolutely. Do they have the resources? Absolutely. But that has really been a thorn in his side all year, and that's something that that Jeg needs to fix.
In pro stock motorcycle, the Harleys 1 and 2 after last year's rebuilding season. The Hectors Jr. and Sr. are 3 and 4 in the points. And then you've got the Matt Smith Racing Armada, 40% of the countdown. John Hall, Matt Smith, Scotty is 8th, Angie is 9th. And then Michael Ray, who we're going to hear from in a little bit. He's going to tell us his plan. And Steve Johnson rounding out the top 10. All that having been said, Matt Smith Racing, Hectors, Harleys.
Yeah, it's. I think, you know, the Harleys look like they are a tick better than the rest of the bikes in the field right now, and I believe that, you know, it almost seems like it's theirs to lose. But again, I don't know. You know, I don't know if anybody was holding anything back. You know, Matt Smith is obviously with the four bikes out there. They're getting a lot of information. He's, you know, proven that he knows how to get it done as a rider. It's just going to be fun to watch the bikes. I mean, the competition level has been high all season, and you know, whoever gets off to the best start, I think by the time we leave Dallas, we'll have a whole lot better idea in the motorcycle class probably than any other class, if the Matt Smith bikes or if the Hectors can get in the winner's circle one of the next two races and start building the confidence that they can do it, then I think that would be huge. If the rest of the field lets the Harleys win the first two, whether it's Eddie, Andrew, or one of each, then I think at that point the Harleys are going to just kind of, they will mentally have a big enough edge that will be next to impossible to overcome.
It has been a tremendous season, and we're going to hear from Eddie Krawick a couple minutes from now. He's feeling it. He's got the golden glow. He's got the confidence going on after this big win. And when a driver's got great performance, a great team, and feels confident, it's tough to knock him out of that that mode. It'll be interesting to see. Alan, great job as usual. We're just a couple of days away now.
Yeah, almost there. By this time tomorrow, I'll have boarding pass on phone and be ready to head back east. One other thing for anybody that is going to Charlotte, if you're going to be there on Thursday night, you don't have anything to do, and you're looking for something, check out putonthebrakes.org, which, of course, is Doug Herbert's deal that he put together after his sons got killed in the highway accident for teaching teen drivers basically, you know, good habits, and it's they're having a very nice affair Thursday night. The last I had heard, tickets were still available for it. A lot of the drivers will be there being part of it. Doug has some pretty good NASCAR connections, so you know, there'll be some big names in the crowd, and they've got some auction items, and it's just a fun dinner, great fundraiser, terrific cause. It's Thursday night. Great Wolf Lodge, I do believe, which is just right around the corner from the racetrack. But putonthebrakes.org, you can check that out online. And if you're going to be in town Thursday night, don't have anything to do, you might want to check it out, get your tickets if they're still available, and go support a great cause.
There you have it. Totally agree. Alan, great job as usual. I'll see you in a few days.
Thanks, Joe. Travel safe. I'll see you in Charlotte.
The NHRA's Alan Reinhart joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. And if you're a first-time listener, it's how we start the show off each week, with a behind-the-scenes analysis of what's going on and a breakdown and everything we saw, everything we're about to see, and what's going on in the world of drag racing. Then we take a quick break and come back with the drivers, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to hear from Shane Gray, Pro Stock winner at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Going to talk to him about what was clearly his biggest win of his whole career. It just happened a week ago. How did it all settle in? We're going to hear from Shane on this show. We're also going to speak with Eddie Krawick. Eddie's a friend of the show, been on many, many times. You can go back in the archive and hear many of Eddie's victories. But this one was different. His first Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals victory. And he had a chip on his shoulder for a lot of the weekend. I asked him about that and just his thoughts headed into the countdown and some of the news going on in Pro Stock Motorcycle as well. Also on the show, Michael Ray. That's breaking news pretty much. He and Star Racing splitting up, parting ways after a couple of seasons together. He's got a number 2 on his bike. So it wasn't like it was a bad combination, but what was the behind-the-scenes story? We speak with Michael about it and get his plans for this weekend. So that's kind of cool. You can read about it. You can hear him tell you right on this show. So if you're a fan of Michael Ray and Pro Stock Motorcycle, hashtag NHRAPSM, check that out. Then we're going to go back to the U.S. Nationals and catch up with Bill Simpson, icon of safety. We were talking, Alan and I, about just some of the innovations. I have this book here, and you can pick it up on Amazon. You can click on the Amazon store on WFOradio.com to see some of the things that we put in our Amazon store. And we're going to try to get this book up there. But to me, the one that is the biggest deal, like of all Bill Simpson's things that he did, and talk about introducing 6- and 7-way restraints and the first helmet designed specifically for children in 2002 for NASCAR, introduced flame retardant underwear, the orange glove used by the steward, the pace car for the Indy 500, just everything, like safety minded, and now working in football to reduce concussions among players, something that is very big. But to me, the biggest deal, Bill Simpson, the Apollo lunar rover sits forever on the moon with the restraint system designed and manufactured by Mr. Simpson. We're going to talk with Bill Simpson on this show, which is going to be great, something I'm very much looking forward to. Of course, Tony Schumacher, the 7-time Mellow Yellow Top Fuel champ. Hey, Tony, who's going to be holding the trophy at the Auto Club Finals in Pomona? This is a little preview of one of the questions I will ask Tony Schumacher, who has 74 Top Fuel victories in the NHRA, more than anybody. And, of course, Christian Bird, the general manager of Z-Max Dragway. What's going on over there? What kind of deals you got? What can our listeners, the WFO radio audience, expect to see this weekend? And I will tell you, the schedule has been changed since our interview. So there are some schedule changes that have been taking place. The newsmakers knew that we recorded the interview a little bit early. And so, of course, switch things up on us. But we'll do our best to correct that as best as we can. So that's a great show. Now, time to tell you about the folks at Z-Max Dragway. Look, there's a banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com right there. Banner ad. Click it. Check out the ticket options and offers. You can get a 3-day pass for $99. Children 13 and under are free. Think about that. 13 and under, they're becoming a man and they're going through adolescence and you want to keep them with you and show them the world of drag racing. 13 and under, free. It is a great deal. It is absolutely awesome. It is a premier facility, ZMAX Dragway. Click the banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com or go to ZMAXDragway.com to find out more. We're going to tell you all about it. I will be there as well. So if that doesn't sell you, I don't know what will. When we come back, we're going to go back to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals Winners Edition Part 2 with Shane Gray, Eddie Krawick. We'll hear from Bill Simpson. Then we'll move on to ZMAX with Tony Schumacher, Michael Ray, and Christian Bird. It's all happening right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
WFO Radio with Joe Costello.
We're fighting a street fight right now, and everybody's going all kind of blues. And we got to throw the blows back, too, and that's what we've been doing. And there's no more games. This ain't recess. Recess is out. This is some serious stuff, and everybody's going out there to throw down. And if you want to win, you got to bring not the A-plus game. You better bring your whole arsenal, for World War IV is going on right now.
WFOradio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. And if you listened to last week's show, we were on location at the Winner's Circle at Lucas Oil Raceway for the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. It was just chaos. It was awesome. But we missed out on our Pro Stock winner, but we got him now. Shane Gray, U.S. Nationals winner. How does that sound, Shane?
Oh, it sounds good. That's what I told some of my buddies back here when I got home. I said, shoot, man, we should have bought a lottery ticket that day. We had a good day.
You did have a good day, the kind of day that makes a career. I know you had won races in the past, but this is by far your best career win. It's been a week now. Has it sunk in?
Yeah, you know, we certainly talked about it, and I've had some friends that have been in the sport for a long time. So, you know, they're just a handful of guys that have been lucky enough to win that race.
What did your dad have to say to you? I saw him on the starting line. Pretty good day for the Gray family with your brother Jonathan racing his way into the countdown, you winning the race, Dave in a team car running up. That's pretty successful. I don't know if you could have mapped it out much better.
No, that's, like I say, you know, that was kind of a fairy tale day we had. You know, I don't know how you could have scripted it any better. But, anyway, it worked out the way it did. You know, the chain of events that day were they were just crazy, I guess is a good way to put them. You know, we get ready to run the final round there and crew chief Justin says, Hey, this is going to be interesting. I said, how come? He said, well, they got their communications mixed up there and they've sprayed the, racetrack all the way to the water box. So, and Dave and I were both standing there and he said, so looks like I bet you both cars are going to shake. He said, so you guys be ready. You know, it'll be whoever can get their car to the end. Really?
Wow.
He said, yeah, I don't think either one of them's going to go. So, you know, Dave had the better car and he was the better guy that day. But, you know, I guess that's why it was so surprising, you know, is my car, it shook a little bit, but it sure didn't shake like Dave's did. And, you know, I just thought, you know, we're going to be really lucky to beat Dave that day. And we were, you know, like I say, his shook and mine didn't shake as bad. So, you know, we were just very lucky.
And hey, there's an old saying says I'd rather be lucky than good sometimes. But just to get to the final, you were good. You beat Alan Johnson in the second round. You had a 20 reaction time. Shane Tucker, no slouch from Australia. The kid is really good out here to prove himself in the good old U.S. of A. You left the starting line first. And then the semifinal run against your brother, that's got to be so tough, Shane, because he's on a roll. He's just raced his way into the countdown. You guys are brothers. You've raced a lot in your very brief career. And the prize is a chance at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. There's got to be extra layers to dealing with that.
It is. You know, it actually kind of sucks, you know, to have to race him. You know, anybody, you know, whether it's, you know, back when my dad and I had to race each other, you know, that kind of sucked as well. But, you know, it's just part of it when you have those, you know, more than one car out there and you got family members driving them, there's a real good chance you're going to have to race each other, you know? And, Johnson did a great job. His car, you know, when we raced him, it spun the tires there in low gear a little bit and, you know, he just, had made a bit of a rookie mistake and he pulled it out of gear really early and the car slowed down. Other than that, he'd have whipped my butt.
The kid is definitely good on the starting line. Now, Shane, let's go back to the moment where you cross through the finish line, your win light comes on, you're now the U.S. Nationals winner, but everybody tells me it takes a while to wrap your head around that idea. And you're in the shutdown area, the chutes are out, you're coming around the corner, people are pointing at you, they're telling you where to go, here comes television, you are the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals winner. What did that moment mean to you? I know you guys have put in a lot of effort for moments like that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you ask, because, you know, we crossed the finish line and I kicked the chutes out. Well, let me go back a little bit. You know, about fourth gear in the car, I kind of looked over out the passenger window and I didn't see Dave anywhere. And so I put it in high gear and I looked out the window up there and I thought, well, I don't see either one of the scoreboards are flashing. So, you know, I just thought, wow. So we crossed the finish line, you know, and my light came on the wall over there and it's like, I can't believe we just won this thing. And the other question was like, well, where's Conley at? What happened to him? What happened to his car? And then you gotta, you relish the moment and you have a, you know, everybody talks and, and it's like you can't believe what just happened and all this good stuff, you know, and then you got to start answering questions. Well, what happened to your teammate's car over there? Did you tell your teammate to lay down? Did you this? Did you that? You know, and all those questions start coming, and it's like, oh, come on, guys, you know. No, I was, you know, there's lots of questions that have to be answered. You know?
Did you get a lot of that? That's I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but I hadn't heard a lot of it.
I didn't get a lot of it. I got a little bit of it, but very, very little. Everybody's been really supportive over it and congratulative. But no, we didn't get a lot of it. But, you know, crap, I was more concerned about my team car, you know, going across the finish line there than I was myself winning the race, you know. Like, crap, what happened to him, you know? I was wanting this deal to be won or lost by a few thou here.
That's the way it was looking. Now, Shane, what's interesting about the U.S. Nationals is that it is the biggest race on the schedule, except as soon as it's over, it is no longer of importance because we're talking about the countdown. And so now you've got the most recent winner, a very solid performer, a very strong team going into a championship opportunity that is yours to take if you can do it. How do you feel about that? And what's the Gray Motorsports strategy starting off at Charlotte this weekend?
Well, we really don't have a strategy. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to go take each round and each race for what it is and see how we do. The championship is a long time away. There's a lot of racing to do. And I'm not really one that's going to look at it and say, okay, we're racing for a championship now. We're really not. We're just running the last six races of the year. And when we get to Pomona and, the race is over with in Pomona, we'll kind of look and see where we stood and how we shook out.
Well, it is going to be very exciting beginning in Charlotte, and, that's not far from your shop and your home, so that's got to be pretty cool as well.
That's right, 30 minutes from home.
Wow, you could pit in your driveway.
That's right. I'm going to sleep in my own bed this weekend.
That's got to be a great home race advantage. Shane, congratulations. Yep. Having watched you start out and just start out at this deal and get your first win and now get your first Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals win, it's been tremendous watching it all happen. Good luck in the championship run, however it turns out. But you're definitely you're on the uptick. This is a tremendous victory, and thanks for sharing it with the audience of WFO.
Thank you, Joe. See you in a few days.
Thanks, Shane. Shane Gray, Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals champion, with us here on WFO Radio. We're tying up the loose ends from our Winner's Circle edition from the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. We were on location last week running around the Winner's Circle. If you did not hear that show, you will absolutely love it. It is in the archive. It will live in the archive forever. Love capturing the drivers right as they win, but I've got to say, getting them on the phone a couple of days later, it has sunk in. They have more to report. They have more time to talk about it. It is just different. I get all kinds of feedback all the time about the Winner's Circle on location editions versus getting the drivers on the phone. It's almost 50-50 each way because there is just a different element. Not that one is better or worse. It is just different to hear the drivers a couple of days later once it has sunk in and they realize they won the big go. Speaking of winners, Eddie Krawick is up next. Eddie Krawick won his first Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals and was on a mission. I had a couple of conversations with Eddie over the course of the weekend. We will reveal some of those and some of the things that were said. Kind of cool. We're going to get into it with Eddie Krawick, who was absolutely on a mission to win the U.S. Nationals and won the U.S. Nationals. So Eddie Krawick is next. Later on in the show, we're going to hear from Tony Schumacher, going to talk about Z-Max Dragway and the first race of the NHRA countdown and the fact that you need to be there. We're going to hear from Christian Bird, the general manager of Z-Max Dragway. If you're in the area, you're thinking about going, by all means, I think you should do it. Click the banner ad, get your tickets, because we're going to be there. It's going to be fantastic. The playoffs are upon us. Also on the show, Michael Ray. Michael Ray is going to talk about his rapid, sudden departure from Star Racing and his plans for the weekend. What's he going to do? Who's he going to race for? What's going to happen? Why did he make this move? What's going on? Michael Ray will be on WFO Radio to talk about it, all you fans of Pro Stock Motorcycle. And a very special interview that we got, I ran into, quite literally, Bill Simpson, safety icon at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. We had a brief conversation. I said, hey, I'm reading your book. Actually, I read your book, Through the Fire. It was great. Got me through a couple of plane flights. And I want to have you on the show. You cool with that? Yes, he was. He's going to be on. Bill Simpson. Going to talk about the U.S. Nationals, among many other things, on this show. If you're new to the show, you will probably find out over the next couple of weeks that the shows get to be a little bit longer come countdown and playoff time, because there's just so much to talk about. And that is the great benefit of our format online, either with the iPhone application, which is free, on Stitcher Radio, on TuneIn Radio, on our iTunes podcast account, whether you just sit in front of the computer and listen. The fact of the matter is that there's more to talk about, and so we extend the show. So this is going to be a little bit longer show. But should we not include the Bill Simpson interview about the U.S. Nationals? I think not. It's going to be great. So hopefully you'll stick around. You can consume the show in a couple of sections, a couple of bites. Try some now, save some for later, however it works. But of course, most importantly, we really appreciate if you tweet, retweet, repeat. The great listeners I ran into in the winner's circle at Lucas Oil Raceway, Harv and Jerry, they were very, very gracious about how they love the Ignition show as well, how they love Nitro, and how they share, and they're constantly on their friends, constantly, almost to the point of aggravation, but just barely beneath that point. Listen to the show. Try the show. Check out the show. You will like the show. It's easy to listen to the show. This is all the drivers. This is the behind-the-scenes stuff. This is everything you've always wanted in your whole life. These sound like exaggerations, and yet this is what they said. So I appreciate it when the listeners let the world know. I know a lot of people are checking out WFO for the very first time. It's a talk show, as you can tell. We try to entertain you for a couple of hours while you're at work. And who's going to help me do it? Coming up next, Eddie Krawick. Going to talk about his win at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Basically, lowered the boom. Put the thump on him out there in the final race of the regular season in Pro Stock Motorcycle. But now it is championship time. And for me, it's time to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. You hear all these drag racers come on the show and talk about their passion and what they love and why they do it and the time and investment that they have in the sport. But it's really difficult to explain why. Why are you doing it? Why do you love something so much? Well, you can find out by going to Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Courses start at $399. They got something called the Dragster Adventure, which we advocate for specifically here on the program. Now, don't get me wrong. You can get a top alcohol funny car license. They're signing people up for their top alcohol funny car class in September, later this month, September 25th in Gainesville. But they've also got the Dragster Adventure. They've got corporate programs. So if you've got a sales team. Let's say you've got an office. You want to bring your office workers out there to build the team environment, to get them racing. Give them a call. They put together programs all the time, and they travel the country, so they may be coming to a city or a track near you. The value of this program is what gets me, because if you wanted to have this experience, the idea of strapping into a race car where you are controlling the throttle, where you are controlling the steering wheel, and feeling that feeling of acceleration and side-by-side racing against another competitor, where can you get that on the fly? The answer is nowhere. Give them a call, 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it on WFO. Those guys were talking about you, and I am interested. Maybe it's a birthday gift, Christmas, the holidays. I hate to say it. The holidays are coming. What is the big Christmas gift going to be for your father or mother, for your son or daughter, for your aunt, your uncle, your niece, your nephew? You get what I'm saying. Family member, star employee, chief mechanic in your shop wants this experience. It can be had, compared to other schools of the sort, is a great value. 866-480-7223, or go to the website, frankhawley.com, to find out more.
This is WFO Radio. Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at CMAX Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down CMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at CMAX Dragway.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, our Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals Winners Edition. Part two, the Pro Stock Racers. We talked about it last week. We continue to break down the biggest drag race on the planet. And joining us now, the Pro Stock Motorcycle winner, another first-time U.S. Nationals winner, Eddie Krawick. Eddie, welcome back.
Hi, Joe. Good to be back.
More enthusiasm than that, Eddie. Come on, man. You won the Nationals.
It's good to be back. Trust me. No, it is without a doubt. You know, obviously, I tell you every time, it's great speaking with you, and It's good to be on your show because that means something happened that weekend that, well, 9 times out of 10 that you want to happen, and that's a win. But I guess every once in a while you could do a blooper show and have people on too.
Well, exactly. Every now and again we like to call. I was talking to one of the racers and they were like, oh, you know, I only like when people call me when I'm winning. And I said that I think, of course, the fans like to hear both sides, though, because you're going to win again, and when you do, they want to hear how hard it was, not just the good stuff. That's just me. I think people like to hear both sides.
Absolutely.
But in this case, we've only got the good side. How is this one different, Eddie? By the way, to think, and I guess I should know, but I'm not the only person who has said this, the idea that you hadn't won the U.S. Nationals was a little bit of a surprise. I know that you knew about it. But I think that just speaks for how people view you as a winner.
Well, you know, I'll be totally honest. The U.S. Nationals has always been a race. For some reason, I've just struggled. You know, I think the semis is the furthest I've ever made it here previously. And, you know, I guess in past years, the easiest way to say it is, you know, a lot of people start thinking or overanalyzing or just doing things. But on the reverse side of it, I don't think I ever have done that. I felt I've always raced my own race and done what it is. I think what happens is some people are willing to take more risks than others, and they just get after it harder. And, you know, ultimately you get caught with your pants down and get beat. And this weekend I had nothing to lose. You know, I sort of locked in my points position. I really couldn't have fell backwards, and it was really hard to move forward. And at that point, I was just out there racing for a trophy, and a cool one, might I add, to that. You know, it has an awesome base, a hexagon base to it, and not to mention, you got a badass ring for winning. I don't think anybody knew about that. That was a huge surprise, so definitely excited. It was an awesome win in my book, and, you know, it's a U.S. Nationals win, and I say it many times, there's really only two things that are remembered throughout a season, and that's usually a U.S. Nationals winner and your champion.
Randy Simpson and the folks at Lucas Oil Raceway surprised everybody with the rings, and if the listeners do not know, maybe you got a clip of it at the end of the coverage, but just while they were on the winner's circle stage, I didn't even know, they basically said, okay, Randy Simpson, U.S. Nationals championship rings. Those things were nice. I can't imagine what it's like for you to carry that thing around, a special one. I know you got some series championship rings. This one's different.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, I'll be honest, money's great, all that's great, but, you know, it's the memories that, in the end, I think go a long way. And, you know, there's certain little things that you get at individual tracks, you know, that it's really cool for your trophies case. And when you put it down, it's a display item. It's something you can talk about. It's just memories of it. And, man, I got to thank Randy and all those guys back at Lucas Oil Raceway. It's awesome. I was totally floored when they brought that out. Not to mention, like you said, I mean, it's a Mac Daddy ring, man. It's just like championship rings. It's a high end quality piece, and I'm honored to have it.
Let's talk about how you did it. You were number one qualifier, and you really kind of just brought the pain on everybody all weekend long is really what it was. I am in a unique situation where I'm down there doing my top-end interviews for qualifying, and because the Pro Stock Motorcycles need a tow vehicle to push you guys back, I get to hear a lot of the conversation that happened. And in this particular case, it was pretty much Eddie dropping the hammer on everybody over the course of the weekend. Jerry Savoie was fast. There were a couple other bikes, Hector Jr., that was in the neighborhood, but you really were the class of the field, number one qualifier, and went on to win. Let's talk about how that happened, Eddie. Was there extra preparation over years past? You said that this year you just felt a little different about it.
You know, to be honest, we came off the truck and we ran quite well. You know, I went number one right off the truck, and then Saturday morning, I'll give you a little, I won't go into all the long, boring details, but I'll just give you a quick run through, and then Saturday, we went back to the trailer, and, being we were in the show, we were number one qualifier, and, you know, I had a good little, you know, a good setup, a good baseline, let's just say. We wanted to try some different things, and like I say, because we had nothing to lose or nothing really to gain at that point, so as long as you're qualified and in the show, that's all you need. But went back, and my crew chief, Matt Hines, said, come on, let's try this with the clutch, and let's try changing the tire, and we'll do a couple little odds and end things for Saturday, and let's see how it pans out. You know, it's hot, sticky, and nasty. Let's try and learn. So that's what we did. And, you know, we put a new tire on my bike, and then also changed the clutch setup, went out there first run, sort of got a baseline. Second run, I think I went 90. For number two, Jerry was low with like an 87 or an 88 for the second session. And I went that 90 and bike hooked good, but we were off a little on the tune up. So then you know, we were like, okay, well, let's go back to what we know works. So we threw our base set up in there for Sunday morning, and bang, right to the pole, went that 82, and that was pretty much it from there on. You know, we left the bike as is, and what we ended up doing is, you know, I've been bit in the butt a couple times this year on Sunday with my bike bogging, you know, on first or second round of eliminations, because, you know, during qualifying, we're running later at night, or we're running in cooler conditions, or stuff a little different. We haven't really ran in the heat of the day. And my bike bogged on that last session, and, man, I'll tell you, it gave us so much information to look at that now we understood the direction and why it was doing things. So it was pretty simple. Go back, correct it, and get your stuff sorted out for Monday. Now, a lot of people said, now, that could have been first round because that was only five runs. That happened on my fifth run, so that could have been first round. Absolutely 100% correct. But on the reverse side of things, it's because we had five runs is why we tried stuff on Saturday, and we tried to learn. And that was a huge benefiting factor for our team.
I ran into you in the pit area, and we had a brief paraphrase it for the audience. The show, the concept is to bring it behind the scenes, but, you know, obviously I don't want to put anything out there that you don't want out there, so just, you seemed ornery. You know, you're going through this weekend, you're running pretty well, but at that moment, you were fired up. Was it just the emotions of the day, because the day was over at that point? Was it just that it's such a long race, it's hot, everybody's a little cranky at some point? But at the end of it, you put forth what I would call the motivating concept, which is, I'm going to say it, you tell me if it's cool, I just want to kick everybody's ass. And that was it.
That's pretty much it. That was it. That was my motivation. And that's my motivation pretty much through the whole countdown. You know, the easiest way to explain it, I mean, for me, is I had a badass bike through the middle, early part of the year. For some reason, for some strange, I can't answer you, I just was like, I was sucking. I had a fast motorcycle. I was riding it well and producing ETs, but I wasn't racing it well. And the reason why is, I would say, I was overanalyzing it. I was thinking about too much. And to be quite honest with you, when you start doing that, you just start getting in a funk, and then you start hating things, and now you got this fast motorcycle, and you can't go around, you can't get past second round, you're like, what the hell, I should be winning races. By all means, I had a good year up until that point. You know, nobody would complain with having two wins under their belt, and, you know, five number one qualifiers at that point. Indy made it six, and I'm at the point now where I'm very confident. You know, some people may say it's cocky or whatever. I feel I'm very confident, and I think the only way I can be beat is if I beat myself, and that's the way you need to act. Because if you go out there saying, well, I hope to get by this opponent, or I hope I can do this, no, that's not the answer. It's I can, and you're gonna, and that's the way you need to do it.
The whole word cocky is something talked about a little bit about it last week on our part one of the U.S. Nationals winners, and that, it's so easy to misperceive cocky and confident, especially in a sport where everything you're doing is public, where you have the media asking you questions. Sometimes you can be overly humble, and it's very unentertaining. Cocky is
correct.
So much more entertaining.
Well, you know, listen, trust me, I've had a great opportunity coming aboard to this team, and I'm humbled by my whole experience and everything that I've ever done here and been part of. And I said it in the press room, you know, when I came aboard here, I was just some kid hoping to be able to race pro stock motorcycle one day and maybe win a race. And, you know, three championships later and 25 plus race wins and, you know, many other things shows you how good of an establishment I came into. You know, I mean, obviously having Matt Hines and Andrew Hines, both three-time champions, and when you look at Byron and Terry, you know, they're the pinnacle. They're the top of the sport. You know, in pro stock motorcycle, anybody and everybody's going to tell you, well, the two people that stick in my head is Vance and Hines. You know, with the exception of Dave Schultz and the John Myers and all that, but when you look at who the top is and what they've accomplished in their year of being out here creating a business and racing and everything that comes along with that, you call Vance and Hines the top. So for me to be here, I'm very humbled and very excited and great to be a part of it, and not to mention being involved with Harley-Davidson and all the great partners that are involved in our team. But I think when you get a grasp on things and you sort of can control, let's just say, the way you're racing, because now it's up to you. They're giving you everything that they can to make you win races, championships, whatever it is. And now it's up to you. And if you're going to be that laid-back reserve guy saying, hey, well, maybe I think I can win. I hope I can get by this round. No, there's not a question. I have everything I need to win. So I'd say that's where the overconfident side of me shines.
In the semifinal round, second round, you ran Andrew, and Andrew was... The bike was just not the same as your bike. I don't know what you guys were doing. I know you know that, but Andrew just wasn't in the same area as you were most of the weekend. You guys had identical lights.
He took a big stab at it against me in the second round, and the bike went a different direction. You know, earlier in the weekend, we didn't know with Andrew's bike, but we hurt the motor early on that second qualifying run. The thing, basically what it did is it blew the tire away real bad. I think it nipped the valve or something, and we never really diagnosed it. We just sort of pulled it apart and threw it off to the side and threw another engine in his bike. And we caught that right on the last qualifying run Sunday. So, unfortunately, that was a costly mistake, because we probably could have got him to move up quite a bit and got things moving around. But it ran well first round, and then he figured, well, let me try making it. He figured if he was going to run me, he needed to go for it. So he made a big change, and it actually went the opposite direction. So that's what happened in a nutshell. And, you know, hopefully we'll have his bike all straightened out for Charlotte.
Very funny moment regarding Andrew at the top end. All the Pro Stock motorcycle racers are gathered around the little TV down there that Gary Gerald looks at to watch, and Steve Johnson is next to Andrew, and Andrew mentioned something from, like, I'm going to just guess at what it was about, 2005, it was like Q3, and he mentions, yeah, on that run, and Steve's like, how do you remember that stuff, which was, I thought, a little insight into the kind of brain that Andrew has. But then in the semis, you have to go up against Hector Jr., and if there's anyone as determined as you are, you know it's him. This kid's very intense. He was out there to win. That was a great run. You were able to get by him, though. He had the reaction time. You had a 90, and you were able to send yourself to the final round. That felt like a final.
He had me 200th on the tree. Yep.
That felt like a final round right there, and maybe a preview to what we're going to see in the countdown. And then Jerry Savoie, for his countdown berth in the final round. If he could have beaten you, he would have made the countdown and won the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. And Jerry...
For his first win.
That's almost too much to ask of anybody, right?
You know, I'm gonna honestly say this. I feel bad for Jerry. I mean, those guys turned a corner and they really, really have put forth an effort all year long. I mean, we supply them with their horsepower, and we've helped them out, you know, a little bit in the middle part of the year, early part of the year. And Tim has really taken a grasp to the tuning side of it. And, man, I'll tell you that the performance of that motorcycle is based on the will and the drive of that team. And, it's showing you that, number one, they're going to be a big headache for everybody in the countdown. I feel bad for all of us, because Jerry's out there, and unlike all of us in the top 10 that are out there racing for points and thinking about it, Jerry now doesn't care about any of that. Jerry wants a win. And when you're hungry and you want to win, that's trouble. Because he's gonna become a headache for all of us. But, you know, on the other side of things, Steve Johnson, as I said, you know, I go through the finish line, I do the interview, and I'm like, Steve Johnson's probably up there hugging and kissing all my crew guys. And here he comes running right behind me, hugging and kissing me. And that was probably one of my worst experiences of the U.S. National, but... I guess I'll let that one happen.
unintended consequences. But listen, if it was Jerry or it was Steve, both on Suzuki's, both fan favorites. Everybody likes those guys. It's good to see them both running better, and Jerry on a major uptick. You got to get there first before you can really. That's just so much riding on one run. And they went 698 as well. You had a 2694. He getting on perfect reaction time and really not been able to beat you. So it was all Eddie Krawick all weekend long. You nail it down. Your first Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals win. But just like that, the countdown is upon us, Eddie. And suddenly, as big a deal as the U.S. Nationals is, and as cool as that ring you're wearing is, it is almost a memory in that you've got a bigger challenge in front of you. Who would you say is the favorite to win the 2014 countdown in Pro Stock Motorcycle?
I don't even know, honestly. I mean, Andrew and I have had a great record this year, and, you know, Andrew's running really well. You know, I mean, he's doing his job. He's riding. He's doing everything really good and really well. So, you know, but there's, I don't want to call them all dark horses, but, man, there's a lot of bikes in our class, in this class right now, that certainly can go out there and win the championship at any time. You know, Matt Smith has got four bikes in the countdown. You know, let's put his odds at it. You know, so, you know, four out of ten, that's pretty good. He's almost there to 50%. I mean, 40% odds is a pretty good chance going into the countdown. And then, you know, you have Andrew and myself, and you have the Hectors, and you got Michael Ray now, which, quite a bit of a shake up there after U.S. Nationals, but it's going to be interesting. That's all I can say. That's all I honestly can think of right this minute. It's going to be interesting. I think we're going to see some great racing, and I'm kind of excited and looking forward to it, man. I want to pop the clutch again, and I want to get going, man. Charlotte's an awesome facility. You know, Bruton and his son Marcus do a great job there, and, you know, it's second to none, obviously, and then we're going to roll on out through four in a row. That's going to be the test, is who can survive four in a row and have their stuff running just as fast at the beginning as they can at the end.
It's going to be very interesting. Now, I want to point out, I asked you who the favorite was to win the countdown. If you were like this real cocky guy, you would have said I am. Right? You gave us a nice driver-by-driver analysis. The cocky guy, the cocky jersey guy, doesn't do that. That was nice.
I'll be honest. I feel very confident right now of my chances. And, you know, the way I look at it is if we can revert back to 2012 for Andrew and myself and go in there and go 1-2, that would be just phenomenal. It would be awesome. It would be a huge rebound for us after last year. You know, you look at my last year stats, you know, yeah, I won two races and I finished three in the countdown, you know, in the championship points and everything along the lines of that. You look at Andrew's, his really, I mean, it wasn't a great year for him, and, you know, not making the countdown, it sucked. And it stung for our team. And, you know, we went back, busted our butts, and, you know, came out this year with, as you'd say, you know, guns a-blazing. You know, we were ready to go. And that was our drive and determination over the winter. And I'd say right now we're in good shape right where we are. And we're pretty excited for this countdown.
It's going to be great to watch. And you mentioned the Michael Ray story, leaving Star Racing. Obviously, you asking you to comment on inside stuff over there is just not fair or not right. But Michael is out there with a countdown berth and no bike at the point. That's interesting. You got something in the back room that you know, you want to put out there?
No, you know, I've heard rumors of he's not racing, and then I've heard rumors that he is racing, and then I know whose stuff he's riding, and I don't know whose stuff he's riding. I mean, you hear all sorts of things.
We'll do some research. We'll get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, you know, To be quite honest, I guess if you're not happy, I don't really know what their situation was over there, so I can't comment on it. I really don't know. But it's one of those things, I guess if you're not happy and nobody's going to get along in the long run, then that's what you have to do. You know, a lot of people don't realize what we do out here. It's a job for some of us, and it's serious. It's serious business. It is a business. And, you know, know, there are guys that race the class that it's a hobby and, you know, things don't really mean anything. But there are a select few shops that this is what they do. They race. And, you know, you need to be 100% professional about it. Going forward, you need to obviously all get along. And you need to all gel and mesh. And if that's not happening, there's no reason to be together. So, you know, I think in the long run here, a lot of people don't realize that what we do is serious. Although we are racing, we're enjoying it. It's a business. And at the end of the day, sometimes business is business and you have to separate and move from there. So, you know, I wish all those guys the best and, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out here. But my main focus is Charlotte right this minute because I don't think you can get too far ahead of yourself. I think you got to just look at what's in front of you and assess it and move forward from that. So, you know, I'm excited, like I said earlier, and really looking forward to Charlotte.
Eddie, thank you for making the time. See, this was a much more, this is kind of, people need to understand. I ran into Eddie as he was going into the media center at the track. We had like a couple minutes, but we never connected after that. This was such a much more deep, far-reaching conversation where we learned so much more about what happened to you this past week. Well, at the same time, we might have lost some of the moment of the excitement. It is certainly different. We always go back and forth. Right? This was a different kind of interview. I feel like we learned a lot more, but man, that moment is special as well.
The key thing is as we said earlier, all I want to do is just kick ass, you know, and that's the way it is, you know, but I do. I think sometimes when you interview people directly after that race and right there, you know, emotions are high. You go and ask the losers, the people that lost in the final, I don't want to call them losers. But the opponents that lost in the final, you ask them how they're feeling, you're going to get raw emotion at that point because sometimes you feel dejected. I know. I've done it. I've been down that road. I've lost a heck of a lot more than I've won. So I understand how it is. And, you know, I think after you get to think about things a little bit and be a little more excited, you start realizing how good of an experience it was. And, man, I just like the ring of saying U.S. Nationals champion. Because now it's off my back, and people can't ever ask me if I won the U.S. Nationals.
Yeah, that's it. The career is made. You've got everything. You've got all the check marks on a career, right? Is there anything I'm not thinking about? It's just about padding the stats now. You've got all the boxes checked.
Well, right. That's a lot of people said, you know, hey, you won your hometown race. You won the U.S. Nationals. You won a championship. I was like, you're right. I'm retiring. I'm going out on top. I'm just going to leave now. I'm not even going to race the countdown. I'm going to say, hey, good job to everybody. But George, then I thought about it for about 0.3 seconds, and I was like, no, I'm ready.
The George Costanza rules.
Let's roll down. Let's run down to Charlotte right now and park the truck because I'm ready.
Let's do it. I'll see you there this weekend, Eddie. Good luck in the countdown. Thanks for coming on WFO.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Eddie Krawick, Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals champion, with us here on WFO Radio. And we could have gotten an interview with Eddie at the track, but it would not have been as deep and in-depth as that. So that's the give and the take you get when you catch up with the guys on the phone a couple days later. It has sunk in. There's extra analysis. There's detailed analysis. And I really like that, and I appreciate Eddie for coming on the show. And that concludes our Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals Winners Edition, Part 2. So now we can start the Pep Boys NHRA Z-Max Carolina Nationals preview right now. Actually, we talked with Eddie about the Michael Ray situation, how there's been some turnover with that team, and we've got Michael Ray coming up next. This is a show that it comes together each week if you're a first-time listener. As news breaks, we get the opportunity to speak with drivers, we'll make the call. And the fact is that Star Racing and Michael Ray have parted ways, and Michael Ray's got plans for the weekend. What are the plans? What's going to happen? Who's he going to be on? Who's he going to be racing? We're going to find out all of that information. What about the timing of the situation? We're going to talk with Michael about it and see what he has to say. And that's coming up next. After Michael Ray, safety icon Bill Simpson coming on the show. We're going to hear from Bill Simpson about the NHRA U.S. Nationals on this show. Ran into Bill at the track. Asked him if he would come on. He agreed to come on. He's about to be on. So we got Bill Simpson. We got Tony Schumacher, the seven-time Mellow Yellow Top Fuel champion. We've got Christian Bird, all talking about Z-Max. So don't move a muscle. Get ready. In fact, tweet your friends. Get on there. Subscribe. Do something. Click something. Forward something. Make a move. Of course, all the social media for WFO Radio. We love you connected to it. We're tweeting out all kinds of stuff. And my viral video, my greatest ever viral video, it continues to go. I've entitled it, Man Pushes Funny Car Through Airport. It has been shared over 100 times, which is unprecedented for a video that I've put up. But the DSR Tommy Johnson car is getting pushed out of the airport right after the U.S. Nationals. I was like, this is a great video. And who knew at the time it would go around the internet, shared by many, many, many people. And that should tell you exactly what people are looking for. Silly little videos. It's all over Facebook. Check it out and share it. But right now it's time to talk about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Open a browser, go to WFOradio.com and click the banner ad on the right-hand side that says Rodax Coffee and Barbecue Grill since 1976. That will bring you to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Rodax spelled R-O-D-A-K-S. Now you can give them a call at 817-924-6821. But while you're on the website, check out everything they've got. First of all, Marvin is a big WFO Radio listener. He's an NHRA fan, and we're actually going to do a tweet up down in Dallas at Billy Myers Texas Motorplex. Marvin goes to that race every year. But the bottom line is he brews, or actually blends, his own brews of coffee that you can order. They have Bang the Blower. They have Kopi Luwak, which is a great blend from around the world. But he also has created a proprietary WFO radio blend of coffee that everybody who has tried absolutely loves it. The WFO radio blend. If you're a big supporter of the show, if you like to grill out, if you like coffee in the morning, or you like hot sauce as a condiment for your food, you got to go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Maybe you have a retail store. Maybe you have a restaurant. His coffees, his hot sauces, his spice rubs are all available for retail purchase as well, which is kind of cool. Maybe you're one of those hot sauce people like, I'm in the Hot Sauce of the Month Club, and they send me something new every week. Well, if you haven't tried Rodax, you are missing out greatly. Here's what you do. Open a browser, go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com and check out all the things they have, whether it be recipes or fun facts about the coffee or even barbecue grills. They'll sell you a barbecue grill and explain why it might be better for your operation. They have coffee wood for grilling and smoking, all kinds of great stuff. Now in stock, coffee tree wood from Costa Rica. Think of that. But at the end of it all, the hot sauces, the WFO radio blend, the Bang the Blower blend, and the A26 spice rub are really what it's all about. And WFO radio listeners from around the world can support the show by supporting our sponsors. You give them a call, you say, hey Marvin, I hear him talking about you on WFO radio. I want you to send me something good, some of that hot sauce, some of that spice rub, some of that WFO radio blend, and he'll make it happen. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com to find out more, or give him a call, 817-924-6821. When we come back, Michael Ray going to tell us all about his move from Star Racing and his next plan this weekend at Z-Max.
This is WFO Radio.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Red Line has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Red Line motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Red Line motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in and Redline Motor Oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at CMAX Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down CMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at CMAX Dragway.
WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. WFO Radio. Now, back to WFO Radio.
WFO Radio, we are getting ready for the NHRA countdown. We have now wrapped up the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals Winners Edition, and it is time to look forward to the countdown that is starting. And you heard a little discussion earlier in the show about one of the Pro Stock Motorcycle countdown racers with a huge shakeup in terms of team, what he's going to be racing, what is happening. Well, we have got the story. Joining us on the line, Michael Ray, going to tell us all about it. Michael, welcome back to WFO Radio. How are you?
Hey, you know, I'm doing great, Wish I was on the winner segment from the U.S. Nationals, but anytime I can be on the show, I enjoy talking to you. You do a great job, and you sure do love some drag racing, so anytime I can come shoot the breeze with you, I'm in.
I appreciate that as well, and you were very cool earlier in the year, giving us a big shout-out on television, which building awareness for our little radio program here is always greatly appreciated. And when I see a racer such as yourself name in the news, a big shakeup, I mean, if this was like football or baseball, this would be a massive monster story. I think it is in the world of drag racing. You and Star Racing have split ways as of the conclusion of the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, and everyone wants to know what's going to happen. So what's going to happen?
You know, we've been out in the sport for a long time, myself and Gottsfeed Racing, and first off, I can't say enough thank you for what Star Racing did for not only myself, but all of our sponsors that have been associated with them for several years. They're definitely, you know, a class act. They got a resume that speaks for itself, and I just wanted to say that first off, that I say thanks to George, Jackie, Ken, all those guys down there. But, you know, I've been able to build a great relationship with the DeSantis family, Joe and Barb DeSantis, over the last few years, and we're going to run their Suzuki for the rest of the year. I mean, we sat back and reevaluated everything over the last week since we made our announcement with Star. And Joe always said, man, if you ever need anything, just call me. You know, man, your guys are family. Hal, Uncle Hal, as we call him, has supported me for many years when he didn't have to. And, man, whatever I can do for you, your family, give me the chance if you need it. And so after a couple hours, we sat down and I gave him a call and I laid out what kind of some of my expectations were as far as, you know, bottom line, just want to kind of go have fun. I know it's tough out there to go win. I don't want to set this up as we're in a win now situation. I feel that we're going to be able to battle for a championship, but it's all unproven with Joe. I mean, he's got great Vance and Hines performance, so we know that the motors are going to be right there with horsepower. I mean, you see what Jerry Savoie has been doing with his program, and Steve Johnson, he's got him a Wally on the shelf this year with his Suzuki. So we know the performance is there, but you know, we're going to go out. We're going to represent our number two plate that we earned last year. You know, we're going to go out with and run in the countdown, represent our sponsors, and try and see if we can't go shake it up a little bit. I think as it plays out, you've got a few races early in the year that you can early in the countdown per se, that you can go out and you can afford to stumble. So I figured we're going to go test on Wednesday. We've got two rounds Friday, two rounds Saturday to really give us a good baseline. And Joe's no slouch. I mean, he's got good power. He's got great equipment. And I think with GT Tonglet, he's going to come help us crew this thing and be our crew chief, per se, when LE's not out there. And I think we can go do it. I think we can definitely go rattle the cages of a lot of the other teams and go have some fun. And nonetheless, probably come away with at least a Wally before the end of the year.
Myriad of questions entering my mind, I imagine the listeners as well. The difference between our sport and like the NFL and these giant mass media culture deals is because everyone is almost like a family. And anytime two people in the family decide to part ways and go different ways, you want to be respectful to everybody involved. So I can understand if there are things that you can't put out there, or you can't say, or you don't want to say. It makes perfect sense to me. But I'll ask the questions, and you just, you know, tell me what you think. If you want to keep it between yourself, by all means. I would never want to do that. That's not the kind of show we do. But Star Racing, Michael Ray, number two on the bike. That is... that's a huge accomplishment in and of itself. To bring that to an end, I would imagine the Joe DeSantis thing is an independent move that happened after the parting of ways from Star Racing. Can you give me some insight? Obviously, you said it was a great opportunity. Why step away?
I just, I felt that if you've got a group, and it might sound cliche, but if you got a group of guys and we're all rowing a boat and one of us isn't rowing in the same direction, then we're not going anywhere. I didn't feel that I was 100% committed and 100% involved. George likes to run his team his way. I've been out in NHRA since 2007. Whether it's with a helmet on or a crew shirt on, I've been around for a while. And it just got to the point where I wasn't wholehearted committed to Star and to George. And I didn't feel that I was going to be able to be the guy that they expected me to be day in and day out. We weren't going in the right direction as far as performance. We had stumbled a lot. Not to get into too personal of it, but I just felt that my veteranship, I guess, I don't know if that's the right word, but as long as I've been out there, I should be able to be humored a little bit and at least take into consideration some of the ideas. And not to say that George didn't, but George was the crew chief and George was the owner and he was the general manager and he did it the way that he felt it needed to be done. Their resume's great. They want to do it their way, and that is great. Not that it wasn't, well, they weren't doing it my way and I wanted to quit. But for the last 3 years, whether it be in public side or not, George and I have worked together on this Buell program. In 2011, him and I started out running again, which got Sovereign Racing from Hungary fired up, which brought them to America and brought that whole team to America. And it just got where we weren't seeing eye to eye. We didn't agree on what the tune-up was at times. We didn't agree on, we weren't testing. It boiled down to the two most important people on Sunday, as you could lead them, saying the driver and the crew chief just weren't seeing eye to eye. And when you wake up in the morning to do something that you love, if you're not getting in the car and saying, man, I can't wait to get to the track, then you need to do something. And it hasn't been, I haven't been having the best of time. So I just felt that before we get into the countdown, before this it spills over any worse than what it could, I had a chance to speak my opinion, and George listened, and he agreed and accepted to what I had to say and what I had to offer. And that basically was, I don't think that we should continue through the countdown.
The question of the timing is probably everything you just said. If those are the heartfelt feelings, I think that everybody would totally understand that and probably have been in that situation a time or two in their lives. But right before the countdown, does that hinder, obviously, their chances, your chance? Was there a chance to win the championship, do you feel, under that circumstance? And I'm guessing the answer is no, because you decided to make this decision.
You know, everybody right now that's in the top 10, we just literally got the countdown and the championship cut out for us. We know exactly what we got to go do. And I didn't feel that, looking at our performance over the last, you know, 5 months since we started out in Gainesville, we've really struggled on reliability. We make great horsepower. We've got number one qualifier hats. We've got track records, we've got career time slips taped all over the inside of that Star Racing trailer. But we just weren't there, I felt, to go make a championship run. And not to say that we weren't doing whatever it took, that's my idea of it. I didn't feel that we were ready. Our on-track performance all day, every day, needed to be worked on. And you know, George and I really spoke earlier in the year, and, you know, he said, man, once we get in the countdown, let's regroup, let's refocus. And when we just continued to struggle, continued to stumble, but without really going to the track to work on the reliability, that's when it just really started to come to the forefront. And, you know, I'm not blaming anybody, you know, but it wasn't going to work. And I've got sponsors that have been with me since 2004. When I first started my drag racing professional venture in AHDRA and moving over to NHRA Pro Stock, and you can only deliver so many bad phone calls. And like I told George, it's just business. If you've got somebody and they're just not delivering, at some point there's going to be a change. I referenced our Harley dealership. If I've got customers that aren't pleased every day after they pay for their service, they're going to go try something else. And as a group, we just felt that it was time that we moved on to different things.
Regarding your new opportunity with Joe DeSantis, and forgive me for not being up on the tech side of that team. I know Joe has been out for a long time, and when he goes out there and makes a field, it's a great story because he's been doing it for so long and has put in a lot of time and effort. But as far as where they are with the most recent Suzuki Vance and Hines updates, which from my, I'll call it, barely knowledgeable about the Pro Stock motorcycle situation within the engine departments and whatnot, it seems like the most recent update is the best, and whoever's got the most recent update is right with everybody and can win. The second most recent update, close, but not necessarily capable of winning, and anything beyond that, it's almost old news. Where is Joe and that team? What will you have when you hit the track this weekend?
We got some of the new and a little bit of the old. Joe's got one of the new motors, all the new updates. Vance and Hines does a great job keeping Joe and Barb with the best parts that they've got out there. They've always been great customers of Vance and Hines. So we've got the new motor, the new big motor, the big stroker motor. We've got one of those, but that's actually not what we're going to run with. Joe's had really good success, and some of the other teams have still had good success with the little motor, per se, or the second to last update. But we're going to go run with that. We feel that the combination that Joe's got and GT coming on board with their, you know, they feel comfortable with that motor. But we've talked to Vance and Hines, and I got to say thanks to those guys. It's not every day that they let a ex-Star Racing driver just come in and say, hey, I need to get some reliable championship horsepower. So I appreciate them entertaining the thought and as well as accepting us and letting me come get some of their good power and go show it off. And we've got commitments from them that whatever we need, they're there and ready for us. We're looking at possibly buying an additional engine, and, you know, just helping Joe keep everything fresh and updated for his program after the fact, after Pomona. If, you know, we're still having fun, we might build us a Suzuki. I mean, I've got a Buell chassis, but no, we've got everything that's set up and ready to go. We don't have fuel injection on the bike. We're going to run the Electron carburetor style program that everybody's been running. Jerry Savoy's got a few other little things that he with the transmission ratios and his MoTeC fuel injection that's really got his bike just leading the pack on both sides for the engine program, the Buell as well as the Suzuki. But we're ready. I mean, we're good. We've got the commitment from Vance and Hines to, if we want to get another big motor and update everything, that we're there. But no, we got the best of both worlds, and we're going to go give it a shot with both of them.
That's got to be great for Joe and his fans to all of a sudden be in a championship run. And I would say that most people would probably feel that on paper, given the performance of the Vance and Hines Harley-Davidsons and obviously the Aranas and Matt Smith having 4 out of the 10 motorcycles in the field, you guys are kind of got the underdog thing going. This team thrown together at the end, like the Expendables, so to speak, you know. But that's kind of a cool place to be.
You know, it is. I mean, when I first won Dallas in 2012, we raced with the motto, man, let's just go have fun. At the end of the day, let's just get in the show and make passes. You know, nobody's having fun when you're braking. I joked with everybody. I can handle going 690s all day, you know, and just getting beat over close races. And Joe's excited about it. I mean, he even said it. He goes, man, my stuff's unproven. I don't know what it's going to do. But I feel confident that I've got the horsepower. I'm not that far off on the tune-up. And if you come over and you drive it pretty good, we should go be competitors. And I told Joe, I said, hey, you know, it's going to be fun. We're going to get a lot of recognition out of this. We are. We don't have, you know, big, huge sponsors, big resume that we got to back up behind us. I want to go enjoy the top 10, enjoy the countdown, a lot of really cool recognition comes from being able to be recognized in the countdown. And to get to do it with Joe and get to take him and his wife to the banquet this year and sit with those guys and, you know, cherish a lot of time that we've spent together. Because, like I said, this program between Joey D and Godspeed Racing, it's been going on since, like, 2000 to, you know, early 2000s, maybe in the late 90s. So I joked. I said, I kind of feel like we're getting the band back together.
And Michael, before I let you go, I gotta ask you about one more thing. I don't know if people have seen it out there. I would imagine they have, but this past weekend, I guess, at Santa Pod, two Top Fuel Harleys were racing, and one of the riders, Philippos Papa Filippo, I guess he's Greek, I'm guessing. Did you see that video, Michael?
I've had a chance to watch it a couple of times, and I got to tell you, I've seen some interesting ride-along programs that the drag racing community has come along with over the last few years, and that was definitely one of the wildest two-up rides I've ever seen. And I hope that the guy's all right. It looked like he was a little out of shape and went a little bit too far. And as anything can happen, we've seen it in cars a few times. They ended up colliding, and he looked like they both went on a wild ride. And unfortunately, the one guy looked like he was pretty well pretzeled up in between the wheelie bars and the rear tire, but. Yeah, that was probably one of the worst accidents you could have happen is two bikes colliding, because nothing good usually comes of it. But yeah, that was a little, it's crazy. I had to watch it a couple times, once in slow-mo after I saw it the first time, and then I saw some steel shots, and I was like, man, I just hope everybody came away from that all right, because it definitely was a wild, wild ride.
Would it ever occur to you, I know that the brain of the racer works at an extremely high rate when you're moving at a really high rate of speed, in a way that we almost can't understand how quickly it works. But this guy, for those that haven't seen the video, we got it on the WFO Radio Facebook page. The bikes basically come together, and he starts to, I guess, high side and is able to grab the wheelie bar of his competitor and ends up riding on the wheelie bar. He's caught in there, and he just kind of holds himself up until the bike comes to a stop. But Michael, have you ever considered that as a possibility?
You know, I guess when anything happens, you're going to react the way you do. But, Yeah, you know, I had a kind of a crazy ride. I ended up behind Karen Stouffer 1 year, and I was looking at those wheelie bars going, you know, hey, if something ever happens, you could just sit right on those things and just cruise on along. I've seen Spencer Massey ride around the staging lanes sitting on his wheelie bars, so I guess that guy had taken a couple notes from Spencer and knew that it's easier just to sit right here and ride than it is to tumble down the track. But, you know, when you're out there, those guys, those fuel bikes, they're going about 200 miles an hour, 200 plus at the eighth mile. I guess anything can happen, and he saw that he could just jump right in there and just hang on and get right, you know, get down to the far end. I don't know. I don't know what could happen in your brain like that. I've never had to make that sort of decision, and luckily I hope I can say I don't ever have to.
Yes, hopefully not. and yet it did make for a – whenever everybody is okay for the most part, and we can go back and analyze something like this with a critical eye and just entertainment mode, it's a good thing. I had never seen anything like it. It was Joey Chitwood thrill show style. I remember watching a guy at my local racetrack in Miami get towed down the racetrack on like a steel plate behind an alcohol funny car, crazy stuff like that. But this was a wild one. I appreciate your perspective.
Yeah, it was those guys over, you know, over in Europe and down in South America, you know, Larry Dixon doing donuts in a Top Fuel car. I mean, they got a different style of drag racing going on over there. They got something going on.
Yes, we need to make the donuts mandatory, and the wheelie bar crossover could be a thing we do every once in a while for extra points.
You start giving out some gold medals and start seeing what people do for anything, right?
Oh, get the X Games guys in here. Michael,
thank you
very much. Good luck this weekend. Appreciate you coming on WFO Radio.
Thanks. See you in a few days.
All right, Michael, I'll see you in a couple days. Michael Ray with us here on WFO Radio, breaking down basically what all happened. Star Racing and Michael Ray parting ways after the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Michael Ray teaming up with Joe DeSantis to run Suzuki's for the countdown. It is an interesting, silly season story that you are now up to speed getting ready for the Pep Boys NHRA Carolina Nationals. I'm sure there's a lot of layers to this. And as I said to Michael, I get to know everybody out there at the races at different times. And how far does the rabbit hole go and the reasons? And obviously, I think about George Bryson Star Racing. I think about, wow, they're not going to run for the countdown now. They had one bike in the countdown. Now they don't. And I think that, wow, timing, all of these elements coming into play. But that's the drama of the sport. This is a big-time motorsport. People make decisions, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But for you fans of Pro Stock Motorcycle, thank you very much for logging on to WFO Radio to find out exactly what's going on behind the scenes. In his own words, Michael Ray with us here on WFO Radio. All right, we got more to come. We got more to come. Safety icon Bill Simpson going to join us on WFO Radio. That's right. Ran into Bill at Indy. Spoke with Bill about coming on WFO. Bill is going to be on WFO. He's got a great book. It's been out for a while, but it's a great read. It's called Through the Fire. But I want to talk to him. It's the start of the NFL season. He has got a new venture going, SG Helmets. Simpson Ganassi, as in Chip Ganassi. He talks about it all in the book. You can look it up on the web. And a lot of the NFL players are using these helmets because they are safer. This is Bill's new project. This is not all we're going to talk about, though. We're going to talk about the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Great treat to have one of the true icons of racing, period, on WFO Radio to talk about a recent experience at the track. Plus, we'll delve into some of his other elements and thoughts on the sport in general. So stick around. Then later on in the show, Tony Schumacher and Christian Bird going to join us to talk about the countdown as we segue from the U.S. Nationals into the first race of the countdown. Don't move a muscle. Stick around. Tweet, retweet, repeat. Let everybody know what's coming up next on WFO.
This is WFO Radio.
get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at CMAX Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down CMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at CMAX Dragway.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, we're following up the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. A lot of great racing going on out there. And at this race, I got really lucky. I got, like, not that kind of lucky, but still pretty lucky in that I was able to run into somebody who has... I've been reading the book for a while, if you've been listening to the show, called Through the Fire by Bill Simpson, racing safety pioneer, and Bill has agreed to come on WFO Radio. He joins us now. Bill, hello, how are you?
Yeah, great, fantastic, and there was some serious good racing out there this weekend.
At the end of your book, you said, you almost sign off with, I hope for the day I can just go to the track and sit and watch great racing as a fan without thinking about companies and who which driver is running my stuff. Were you able to accomplish that this weekend?
I sure did. It was great.
60 years of the U.S. Nationals. You have taken in most of those, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, I went to every single one. As you know, I'm working with these kids on this football helmet business, and for me to be able to go out there, I went out there Friday, and I stayed Friday through Monday, and it was wonderful visiting with all my old pals, all the legends that, you know, are like me old, and that was terrific. And we're talking old times and what have you, but and watching the races, you know, that was spectacular. Those races were unbelievable. I can't even believe it. You know, that one, the 1/1000th of a second. No way, if you didn't have electronics, could you have picked out who that winner was. But yeah, I had a wonderful time. Thanks.
That is great. And obviously, you are a great resource in that you have seen and done so much. And reading the book, as I have been. Now, that book was completed, it sounded like, in the middle to end of 2012. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I had sold Impact Racing, and I was entirely devoted and enveloped in the R&D of our new SG helmet.
And that's Simpson Ganassi. And how far along has that come since the end of the book? It sounded like you were really making some hay in terms of finding the right people and trying to get these things implemented.
We went on the market in November of 2013 after 2 years of trials. And in the trials that we did, our concussion rates, we were at various schools, high schools, grammar schools, middle schools. Our average concussion rate was reduced by about 75%. And we were pretty happy with that. So when we came to market, you know, it stayed that way. Now that we're in the first couple of weeks of the season, we have yet to hear of any concussions with any SG helmets.
Wow, that is tremendous. And it's a big challenge. We all watch NFL football. It was kind of interesting. You spend a lot of the book, and listeners, I recommend you get it. We've spoken about it in the past, but it's really cool. Of course, on Amazon, you can get it anywhere. But you talk about the history and whatnot, but then focusing on your new relationships with football players, and you mentioned something that I found interesting, that the racer mentality is still different than what you may find in stick and ball sports, in that just a constant look at everything about how to try to improve it, and that wasn't necessarily there, and you are coming to the football helmet concept with the racer mentality, always trying to improve it. And it sounds like they need that.
In a big way. They need it. I mean, the stick and ball guys think that if it was done 50 years ago this way, that's the way it should still be. And it's been tough, you know. I mean, there's a lot of fences and stuff, what have you, but you know, it's not a money issue for myself or Chip. And what we're doing is it's really a pretty fun project, and we're teaching people. And what's important is we're teaching moms and dads about their kids, how to protect the kids. So, but you know, like I said, there are a lot of fences and hurdles that keep getting popped up in front of us, but we take them one at a time. But we know that the technology that we have, which, by the way, came from motorsports, period. And it's completely different than anything that those guys have ever seen. And they look at it and they go, what? You know, they don't understand what we've done even. But it's okay. We're fine. I mean, you know, the proof's in the pudding, if you will. Liars figure, but figures don't lie. So we're pretty happy where we're at. We're looking forward to 2015 season. We've done all of our production for 2014, and we're just moving forward now to 15, and I think that we'll be, our presence will be known quite more than it is now.
Is there a way, I know when I watch an NFL game, and I do not know, I know you're focusing on youth sports, which is great, but I also know that in the book you mentioned you had a couple of players wearing your helmets. Is there a way to visually identify one of your helmets? I know the ear hole on some are different. Is there a way now?
The only way you can identify an SG helmet is it's got a round ear hole. Everybody else has ear holes that are kind of weird shaped, like modified diamonds or modified triangles or stuff like that. But ours is perfectly round. And talking about guys from the NFL, I don't know how many of them came through the summer to the shop and got fitted, but I would say that we're probably in the neighborhood of 180 NFL players are wearing them.
Oh, wow. And we're talking...
It's catching on. You know, the guys are seeing that. The thing weighs half of what their normal helmet weighs to start off with. So it makes them a better athlete. But they're seeing their buddies getting whacked hard and getting knocked down, and they get up and they finish a game and they go into the locker room. They don't even have a headache.
What I read, titanium face shield, as someone who has done basic racing, my thought immediately was the less weight is better, period. That's a racing principle. It's a little shocking to me that they hadn't come to that conclusion.
Well, I think now that there's three big helmet manufacturers, and they've watched what we've done, and I've noticed at the beginning of the season, I'm looking at their face masks, and they've changed. I don't have any idea what the material is that they're using, but they've smalled them up, if you will. You know, they're quite a bit physically smaller looking. They kind of copied what we did, which is, it's okay, it's better. I have no idea what they're using. They could be using steel or titanium. I don't know. I know what we do.
I think in the NFL, though, I think the sport has enough financial resources to justify spending a little extra money on a better helmet. That's just my thought.
Well, our helmet's not any more expensive than the top of line Riddell or Shutt. It's the same price.
Really?
So, yeah.
Very interesting.
You know, but our helmet is made of carbon and Kevlar rather than plastic, you know, and our face mask is titanium and chromoly. And our liner is it's a patented liner. It's a three-part foam. When I say three-part, it's three different bead weights of EPP. So, you know, it's like we're in a different place than they are.
Well, that is great. With the start of the season this weekend, I think a lot of our listeners are going to be looking. In the book at the end, there is a list of all the different innovations that you have participated in or pioneered. And, of course, the Simpson name and safety is big. I do have some questions about the state of the sport and your just general opinion. But the thing that if I'm going to tell you which one of your accomplishments stands out the most, which is, you know, how funny is that? But the lunar rover that is still on the moon still has a restraint system designed and manufactured by you. I think that one probably is pretty amazing to most people.
When I got put in the Garlitz's International Drag Racing Hall of Fame here 4 or 5 years ago, and I was just sitting there, and these guys were getting up and they were getting their awards for what they had done and what have you, and everybody had great accomplishments, you know, and it was my turn to get up there, and you know, I think Kenny Bernstein introduced me or whatever, and I got up there and I said, okay, I've heard all the stuff that you guys have all done in this room, but I said, I've done something that none of you will ever do, and it's not been done before. I said, on the moon, when you look up there, the moon rover's there, and there's seatbelts and shoulder harness on that thing, and on the harness it says this harness was built by drag racers. That brought the house down, and that's true. It was with a silver Marcelot pin. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's the greatest thing I ever did. That's because I was friends with Pete Conrad, the astronaut. I think the biggest thing for me that I've had in my life is, one, starting the Indianapolis 500 as a driver, and two, this last May I was inducted into the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Hall of Fame, which, that's pretty serious. You know, there's 132 guys in 100 years that are in that thing. So, but, you know, and then I am in 6 Hall of Fames, which I'm really proud of that. I don't think anybody else is ever going to do that because it's for different things. But let me tell you something. This is the most gratifying of anything in the whole wide world. I go to sleep at night knowing there's a couple thousand people that are with their kids and their wife tonight because of the stuff that we did.
Tremendous, and as important as it gets, even more important than having something on the moon.
Absolutely, positively. That is the most important thing.
But I still think it's cool, and there's a tag that says this was built by drag racers, quote.
It's not a tag, it's been written on the lap belt and the shoulder harness.
That is awesome. That is that is an awesome stat. Bill, I know you talk about wanting to slow down a little bit as best as you can, but when you're out there, you have the brain that you have, and I would imagine it's tough to not look at things and think about them in terms of how to improve them. When you look at the sport of drag racing, you just spent the past several days enveloped in it. What do you see out there, generally speaking, having a life of experience, watching the innovations come along? Do you feel things are directionally correct?
Yeah, everything is, you know, right now what I see is incremental improvements in what's going on. I had a talk with Mike Lewis, who runs Schumacher Racing, over the weekend. I saw some stuff, and I said, you know, my opinion is if you guys would look at doing this, you might make that be a little bit better. And I still do that wherever I go, you know. I mean, I go to a dirt race and say something, and I'm not intrusive about it, and of course I'm not in racing anymore. However, I'm now looking from the outside in, and I can see things that I didn't see before. But it's nothing earth shattering, you know. It's just incremental improvements in things that they already have.
We have I like to think we've got an audience that's passionate about the sport of racing, various types, whether it be NASCAR or drag racing or dirt track racing. But we gather together each week and do the show like this. At the end of the book, you mentioned you would love for there to be a young person, or better yet, a group of young people that catch the passion that you had, that try really hard their best to continue to move the sport forward. What would you say to those people? How to do it? What's the best road to follow? The world is tough today. You mentioned the level of competition, obviously the corporate environment. There's a lot of things that are different now. But if you could motivate a young person who is thinking, should I go into this world? It's tough. What would you say?
Well, I mean, you know, here's an adage. You know, I've been doing it since I was 16 years old. And, you know, my first drag race was at Santa Ana Drag Strip. And C.J. Hart, some of you people don't know who that is, but he was a fixture in drag racing for a lot of years. I get down there, and I've got a 41 Ford convertible, and he says, C.J. comes up to me, and I'm a 16-year-old kid, you know, and he goes, you can't run this car. I went, why not? And he said, because it's a convertible. I said, okay, then what? He said, well, you don't have a helmet, and you don't have goggles. And I looked at him, and I went, you're right, I don't. He said, well, I'll rent you a helmet and goggles for a quarter. and I made a pass in this 41 Ford convertible, and I ran like 71 miles an hour. I thought I was the king of the world. But, you know, we come a long, long ways from there, brother.
Yes. Isn't that the truth?
But, you know, the bottom line, to tell some kid, here's the thing. The harder you work, the luckier you get. You know, and ain't nobody going to give you anything. You got to work for it. That's just the way life is. And there's a lot of kids that don't have that attitude. They think that they're entitled to something, and they're not.
One story from the book I'd like to talk to you about, because, you know, the snake was out there just doing his snake thing, and I was in the car for the track walk, him and Mongoose, and, of course, I grew up in the Hot Wheels era. I'm the kid they were marketing to, and it worked.
Yep.
Obviously, it worked. Yep. Here I am. You talk about a story that it's worth buying the book just for the story, about the snake is in a feud with a legendary race car builder and was unaware of it, apparently. He didn't even know why the guy was mad at him, and that festered for 20 years, and obviously it turned into a big scene at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. That had to be...
Yeah, well, that was Butera, and Butera had a leukemia list, people that didn't like, and we got Butera and Perdomo together, and it was pretty funny, and Jim Williams, the guy who started McDonald's with Ray Kroc, was the moderator. It was pretty funny, yeah. But they got it straightened out, and Little John died a couple of years ago, as you know, and him and Snake had patched the rift that they had.
So Snake-like to not really even be aware that there was a big rift.
He knew there was a rift. If he told you that, he was trying to be diplomatic.
Certainly the characters that were there back then. You were. Do you think back, do you feel fortunate to just have been born at the time that you were?
Like, lucky, man, lucky, for sure.
Yeah, you saw a lot of great stuff. Bill, thank you for taking the time on WFO Radio. I know you're
very
busy.
Okay, my friend.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for making the time. Very, just luck that you're standing at my golf cart. Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bill Simpson with us here on WFO Radio. Just great fortune to run into Bill at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. It was kind of funny, because I was running to get into my golf cart. There he is. And I'm like, went into show mode. The gears started turning. Whoa, wait. We need to get you on WFO Radio if you would like. And he was okay with it. And I'm just happy to hear. If you read the book, it's called Through the Fire. I actually have it right here. And it is an excellent book. I got this book a couple of years ago, I guess last year, at the Big Daddy Don Garlitz International Drag Racing Hall of Fame induction. And I started reading it. on various airplane rides. It is great. It's actually a sequel to Racing Safely, Living Dangerously by Bill Simpson. But this is great stuff. It talks about a lot of the trials and tribulations, et cetera, and so on, of Bill's life. But most importantly, and I referenced this at the start of the interview, he says at the end that he really longed for the day that he could just go to the track and not really be bothered thinking about who's got his stuff and just enjoying the race. And here's the quote that ends off the book that inspired the start of the interview. "And I'd like to think that one day I could just watch a race as a fan. An informed fan, maybe, but a fan. What I mean is, it would be cool to sit in my suite at Indianapolis or be with my friends at some big drag race, or maybe even lay on my couch at home watching the Daytona 500 on television and not have the whole experience influenced by business. It'd be fun to just root for one guy over another guy, not based on which one is wearing my helmet or my fire suit, but based on what makes for a better race. I still love racing, but it would be fun to recapture that pure love I had for it when I was young, that we all had when we were young," says Bill Simpson in his book Through the Fire. And I want to thank Bill for coming on WFO Radio to talk a little bit about that and, of course, his current project. And been watching the start of the NFL season, looking for those helmets with the round ear holes. Kind of interesting to see the round ear hole helmets. Some of them are Bill's helmets. Very, very cool. All right, we got a lot more to go. As I told you, these shows, they get a little longer come countdown time. We've got Tony Schumacher coming up next on the show. Tony will be followed by Christian Bird, both on behalf of Z-Max Dragway, and hopefully getting the WFO Radio audience out to the track, buying tickets, race one of the countdown. Come out there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Enjoy the race. Race one, the championship. It all starts now. We'll be back after this with Tony Schumacher, the seven-time Mellow Yellow Top Fuel champion, the all-time leader in Top Fuel victories, going to come on WFO Radio just minutes from now. Stick around.
This is WFO Radio. WFO Radio is 300 miles per hour of fire-burning nitromethane thunder.
If you want to be called a champ, you got to beat me, because we fight for championships. We don't give them away.
WFORadio.com.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO Radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying, I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
We are getting ready for the NHRA countdown. That's right. If you're a first-time WFO Radio listener, just logging on and maybe doing some searching for some extra countdown coverage, you've come to the right place. We encourage you to subscribe to WFO Radio and listen each week, because you're going to hear the winners. Now, in this case, we are previewing the Pep Boys Carolina Nationals at ZMAX Dragway. Hopefully, you'll get out there. I'll be there. It's race one. Joining us now, Tony Schumacher, driver of the U.S. Army Top Fuel Dragster. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Ready to go. All right, we're getting ready for another countdown, and you're getting ready to run for another championship. But before we get into the whole ZMAX Dragway thing, I want to go back a week to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, where you won $100,000, and the track's a shootout. Huge success on the weekend, and then on Monday came up a 1,000th of a second short on winning a record 10th Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. How are you looking back at that event?
I'm a little angry. You know, it's, you don't get those chances all the time. I mean, we had a chance to go out and do it, and you know, I was just driving extremely well, and the car was so fast, and then we got to that third round, and I dropped the ball a little bit, car slowed down a little bit, and the other team did a fantastic job, did exactly what they had to do, you know, and got beat, you know. And you know, it's a good lesson for me. It's a good lesson for the kids watching racing. Yeah, everyone doesn't get a trophy, buddy. It's just only the winners, man. Only the person that gets the job done. And you can get close, and you can try hard and put a lot of the effort out, but you don't win everything. It's it was humbling, and you know, we had the car for the weekend, and we just a thousandth of a second, two cars making 10,000 horsepower, and we lost by a thousandth of a second.
That's one that stays with you for a long time. Is this something? I know you've won, obviously, more races in Top Fuel than anyone else. You've won more championships in Top Fuel than anyone else. But it seems to me, when I talk to racers, they really remember the really close races that they lost.
Yeah, I remember the really close ones I won, too. You know, I think that those are by far the most gratifying. Whether you win them or lose them, believe it or not, we know we're going to lose some. I mean, it's just a fact of... we've won more races than anyone in the history of the sport and Top Fuel, but we've lost way more than that. You know, it's a fact. It's not 50-50. You know, you show up and there's some other great cars. You're going to get beat by 50. There's 15 other good cars racing and you. So you're not just going to go out there and win them all. You just got to figure out how to win the ones that are absolutely mandatory and very important to win the championships.
The championship starting off at ZMAX Dragway, and the reason you are on the show with us, obviously we love speaking with you, but the Pep Boys NHRA Carolina Nationals, a race that we are hoping to encourage our listeners to get out there and see it in person. This is a two-wide drag race, and I don't know that you can win the championship necessarily right here, but you can definitely put yourself at a huge detriment to winning the championship without at least a decent performance.
Absolutely. If you go out there and make mistakes, you got a long shot at doing anything but finishing in the top five. So you got to close the deal, man. You know, it's something that our team has been the best at. When it absolutely, positively must be done, we're good at that moment. And I think it starts right there in Charlotte, dude. ZMAX is the place to get it going. Bruton Smith builds us a beautiful track. It's getting late in the season. The weather conditions are going to start coming towards the big horsepower cars. And I'm driving as good as we've driven in a long time. So, you know, all we can do is show up and bring an A game. For the kids listening, A plus, buddy. Go out and learn how to get that A plus in school, because school will end and you will have to have figured out by then how to get an A plus at the next thing. And if you can't figure out how to study for a simple test, on a day where your teacher told you you were going to have it and told you where the answers were, how are you going to study for something like this? And this is huge. What we have to do and what we're being asked to do is incredible and requires everything you have to offer and a little more. And it starts right now. It starts in young kids in school. Figure out how to get past that test first.
It's interesting that I've been interviewing you for a lot of years, and I've noticed you've always been motivational ever since the U.S. Army deal, and you always bring an extra level, not just about the racing, but you kind of weave it into daily life and how if you're successful on the racetrack, you can be successful in life and business, and that it's the same things that make you successful, determination, working hard. But in the past couple of years, I've noticed you really targeting young kids, people in school. You mentioned taking a test. Listen, I was in school. I didn't do great on every single test, but I did pretty well. But I could have done so much better because the teacher did tell me exactly where the answers were, and I guess I could have gone and looked at them and prepared a little better and could have done better. I think most kids feel that way when they get older. At that point, it might be a little too late. What is inspiring this, what I would call maybe a sustained campaign directed towards the children out there? Like, hey, do better, you can do better.
You know, I just have learned over the 15 years that, the last 15 years that the people you surround yourself with, right, are so important. And, you know, if you get around a group of idiots, you're going to get stupid. And if you get around a group of engineers, you learn engineering. It's a simple thing in life. So, you know, at a young age, I wish I could have gone back and got better grades. I really wish I could have lived my life backwards. And would I want to end up in the same place? Absolutely. I would just rather be smarter and sit in the same seat. I mean, I knew we had tests, and I just had more important things to me that I thought were important. And now that I have kids growing up, I remind them of that every day. Guys, I know you got a football game and a date coming up, and all that's important, but this test is more important. It's going to last forever. It's going to judge. It's going to decide, determine, and everything where you go. And if you learn at a young age to take tasks that are more difficult, figure it out, life is fantastic. If you're broke the rest of your life, you're going to hate it. If you skip those tests, skip preparation, don't learn simple rules in life, you're just going to be miserable. And I just learned it through being around people. You can walk up and have a conversation with someone and knew which path they took, right, or know which path they took right away. Just chat, you know. And over the years, I figured that surrounding myself with the right people wins me championships, does the right thing, it helps me along. And pass it on, man. Pay it forward, you know.
I totally get it, and I feel the same way. Not that I did bad in school, but I certainly could have done better, without a doubt. But as you said, sometimes it takes someone else from the outside to just shake you out of that. And hopefully some kids out there are listening, because that is great advice. Now, your team this year, obviously you know how to win championships, but it has been a little while. That having been said, it looks like you guys are running your best at just the right time.
You know, absolutely, and the time of five championships, six, seven in a row, that's gone. Like, for me, for everybody, there are too many good cars. When we did that, we were a great car, myself, Alan Johnson, and that team, and there was everyone else was fighting for a second. It was different. Now there are 10 teams all capable of winning a championship, at least six, and so the battles are monster. They're huge, and as hard as it is for me to take, it's life, you know. And as much as I have to understand this, and the fans, they get the benefit of all that, because you go to a race, you pay money to go to a race. This is my entertainment dollar. I'm going to spend it here. You're going to come to a drag race. The last thing you want to see is one car win everything, and just you're just wondering who's going to finish second. You want to see a battle, you know. You want to see gladiator stuff, and you know, at the end, someone wins and someone loses. That's what we show up for, you know. And every now and then, a car's upside down on fire. That's kind of cool, too. But, you know, as long as it ain't my car, by the way. But it's life, you know. And people want to see that intense bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, full count moment. And every race is like that now. It's just the best. It's the best top fuel season I've seen in a long time.
I would agree completely. It is wide open. There is no favorite. Obviously, Doug Coletta, a respected nemesis of yours. You guys have been battling for years, having an absolute breakout year. Your teammate, Antron Brown, who won the 2012 championship. He is running very well. You guys are running very well. The Alanabi cars are capable of winning any race on any given day. So what is going to be the determining factor, you think, six races from now? Will it be just consistency? Will it be making decisions based on weather at that critical time, the crew chief taking a little weight off or getting aggressive at a moment that is a big moment? Will it be consistent driver reaction times, or what I think you're going to tell me, a combination of all of these?
A combination, and for one reason. And you left one out.
Yes?
Timing. I lost in Brainerd by 0.005 of a second. If I had the reaction time I had the run before, I would have won. And if I switched them, you know, I would have won both rounds. And sometimes people take shots against me, and I have perfect lights against cars that smoke the tires. And then the next round, I have a medium light against a car that runs the low ET of his career, because that's what they have to do to beat us. So it's timing. You got the right place, right time. Indy was the same thing. I had a 44 light the second round, and then in the third round, I have a 72 light. If I could have won with a 72 light in the second round, it was easy. Third round was just hard. You know, it just, the guy did what he had to do to beat me, and it's timing. It is literally so important. The right car, the right light at the right time. You can smoke the tires sometimes, as long as the other guy does too. You know, I mean, you can win these things. So timing is incredibly important, and it's won us championships. 06, Doug Coletta gets beat on the last run of the year. We win the championship by setting a world record. He gets beat by Melanie Troxell, who, he's got a 50 reaction time, a great light. She's got a solid guess. That's it. And she beats him, and we go on and win the championship. Now, he's driving like a machine, doing a great job. That cost him a championship. Who, he would have beat anybody else. She just took a guess, you know. I got to appreciate that. She won me a championship and a lot of respect. But, you know, she'd have beat everybody else. Just timing.
It is a cruel sport, but yeah. Everybody loves that aspect of it. It definitely does make you rise to the occasion. Three-day passes, just $99. You're talking about entertainment value. You are a fan of Major League Baseball. You're a fan of regular mainstream sports. The fact that a dad in the Carolina area can take his 12-year-old, or actually 13-year-old son, to 3 days of entertainment for $100, it's $33 a day, to me, the value argument is tremendous.
It's the best value for your dollar in any sport. It's a fantastic thing. And the kids learn, because they're watching right up close excellence. Not in the crew. They're gonna, you know, everyone gets to see the drivers. You watch the race, it's great, but to watch the crew take a 10,000 horsepower engine apart and put it back together in, you know, 25 minutes, you're wobbling, and you were gonna learn from it. That's it. You're gonna see kids that are not much older than them go out and do this job that would seem impossible, but they get it done because they work together. And I think whether you're trying to learn or not, and you're gonna learn good positive things. It's a great life lesson out there at the races. Good, clean fun, and a monster battle this weekend. So get out there. Spend your $100. Come out and watch this race.
Absolutely. It is going to be great. Plus, I'll be there, too. Woo!
Sounds good.
Tony, John Force is going through this big sponsor hunt, and obviously John has meant a lot to the sport. But you have meant a lot to the sport as well. You're running real well right now. I'd say you are in the absolute top tier of teams, and you've lost some really close races this year. But my thought, watching you go through the U.S. Nationals and knowing how different that race is, especially to you, trying to win that 10th, and thinking to myself this thought, and I'd like you to elaborate on it, you know, how many more opportunities is Tony going to have to get that 10th or 11th or 12th? How long are you going to do this? These kind of thoughts, I don't want you to announce your retirement here on the show, but you look at a guy like Force, who has done it his whole life into his 60s, is that a model you see yourself following, or is it going to be more of a transition at some point? When we watch Tony Schumacher, what should we be thinking about?
I wish I could answer that for you. I just love what I do. I'll keep doing it till I don't love it. You know, honestly, John Force does it because he's the leader of that team, and he's got to keep going. I do it because I love the sport, and I can't think of what I would rather do. As soon as I think of something I'd rather do, and I'm going to go try to golf here. So if I go out there and shoot a 52, I'm going to be a pro golfer next week because those guys make some money, you know. But I can enjoy that. What I won't do is take an office job that'll make me crazy the rest of my life just because it's not my personality. Everyone's got their special thing, you know, and I think I'm good at what I do. When I become not good at it, and there will be kids that grow up and start beating me, then I'll start thinking of a different job.
Tony, I want to thank you for coming on WFO. You know, normally, we have you on after a win. This is a deal for ZMAX Dragway. Of course, you can get your tickets right on our website by clicking the banner ad or going to ZMAXDragway.com. They got some great specials. If you bring the Mellow Yellow can, you even get a bigger discount, which is unbelievable how easy you can get into that racetrack. Right in the heart of NASCAR country, but the NHRA countdown playoff system begins right now. And Tony, final question. 6 races from now, what are your expectations?
Hold the trophy up. The other 10 or other 9 guys going for a championship, nobody would want to race the Army car right now. It's the best car out there. And there are other cars that are extremely good. Our car is just the best at this point, at this time. And it's the perfect time to be getting great. And we are the team that is under pressure, ice cold. So that being said, let's get out there and prove it.
Tony, thank you very much for coming on WFO Radio. I always love hearing what you have to say, and I'll see you there this weekend. Thank you.
Sounds great. You bet.
There he goes, Tony Schumacher with us here on WFO Radio. I love the confidence. See, that's what I want out of racers. Who's going to be holding the trophy, Tony? I am. I will be holding the trophy. If at the end of it all, Tony is not holding the trophy, I'm sure there will be a reason. We'll analyze it. We'll talk about it. But I love the fact that he believes in himself and his team enough to say it right here in front of the world on WFO Radio. Who's going to be holding the trophy? I'm going to be holding the trophy. I love that. Drag racing needs more of that, of course. The 7-time champ, 74 wins. He's the guy who says it. But I love it. And he was on a roll in Indy, and just got taken down by 1/1000th of a second by Richie Crampton. And, of course, I encourage you to go back and listen to Richie in the Winner's Circle. Very interesting stuff. Thanks to Tony for coming on the show and sharing his thoughts with the WFO Radio audience. I love what he has to say to the kids out there, too, because it's true. Kids, read and do your homework. You will be successful. It's almost as simple as that. Read, do your homework, listen to your parents. You will be successful. Your parents want the best for you, hopefully. Your parents are probably going to use their lifetime of experience and wisdom to direct you in the right direction. The homework and the reading, you got to do it. It's not interesting to you now, but it will be interesting at some point in the future. There you go. Words of advice from Tony Schumacher with a little addendum added on by WFO Joe. All right, when we come back, Christian Bird coming on the show. We're going to find out a little more nuts and bolts about what's going on at ZMAX this weekend and get some of his thoughts and ideas about the countdown. So stick around. And remember, if you're a new WFO Radio listener and you just got to this point on the show and you're listening for the very first time and you're like, wow, I can hear the drivers interviewed. This is something that is kind of interesting to me. I find myself watching NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing on ESPN2. I enjoy going to a race once or twice a year, and I love reading about it. But now I can hear them actually talking about it for themselves, standing up under questioning. The answer is yes. Yes, you can. Subscribe to the show. Download the free application. You can listen on anything that's got an internet connection, including your phone. It's a great way to listen and keep up. During the countdown, we're going to be all over it. But the show goes right through the off season. We go into December. We keep doing the show through December. You don't have to disconnect. You don't have to hang it up. When everyone else is going on vacation, WFO Radio is getting to work. We want to remind you of that right now. Come the off season, you're going to need some entertainment. Those days at work, the Thursday, Friday afternoon, is going to be very boring. You're going to need a way through. You're going to need a couple of hours of entertainment. WFO has got you covered. We'll be back with Christian Bird right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at C-Max Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at C-Max Dragway.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, and the countdown begins this week. That's right, Z-Max Dragway, race one of the NHRA Championship Countdown. And if we're headed to Z-Max, that means we have this man on the show to talk a little bit about it. Christian Bird back with us, general manager of Z-Max Dragway. Christian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Jeff.
Always love going to your facility because it is, after all, the Bellagio of drag strips. But two interesting and unique races, the four wide, of course, earlier in the year, one of one, a unique experience, and this race, the first race of the NHRA Countdown, where championships can't be won, but perhaps could be lost.
There is a lot on the line. Once you get into this countdown, you know, we've seen it in the past when drivers, maybe there's a DNQ early on in the countdown, and it basically can make or break your championship dreams. And, you know, we're looking forward to a great weekend of racing. A couple weeks back, we announced a new partner on the event with Pep Boys, so we're excited to have them as a sponsor of the Carolina Nationals. And I'm ready for a great weekend of racing. I can't recall a better time in NHRA drag racing. We're from 1 to 16, man, it's competitive. It's tight out there.
I was thinking about last week's show, and we're even still hearing from some winners this week with Shane Gray and Eddie Krawick, pretty much our pro stock winners circle. The fact that they won the U.S. Nationals for the first time and all, and all the history and almost the passing of the baton from the legends to the new guard in that single event. It was absolutely tremendous. But when I think about your event, the Pep Boys Carolina Nationals, I think that the racing and the racing and the drama of the championship countdown really takes center stage.
It does. I think it hit home for me last week when I saw my buddy Lewis Bloom, stat guy, send out a note, and it said that only three drivers have made all eight countdowns so far. I think it was Forrest, Katz, and Height. And it just shows you, I mean, from year to year, how, you know, looking at that 10 spot and looking at how much was on the line in Indy at the U.S. Nationals, that, gosh, I like the passing of the baton's a great term, but it, you know, anybody can win on any given week. There's not one dominant car in any of the professional classes.
It is great. Let's talk about some of the stuff you guys got going there at ZMAX Dragway. We've got a banner ad on the front page at WFOradio.com and been running the ads, and hopefully our listeners in the area are going to come out. What kind of cool things are you bringing forth on this particular edition of the first race of the countdown?
Yeah, and one change we made, and it was totally based on fan feedback, Joe, was to run a little bit later on both Friday and Saturday. You know, the weather's great here in the Carolinas, and but people love to see header flames. So we'll have kind of a true evening to night session on both Friday and Saturday. We've never had that before at our September event. It's usually a little chilly in the evenings and then our April four wide event. So we've kind of trying to get people more fire under the light. So I'm really looking forward to that. And you know, the other thing that people I hear all the time, when you look at some of these message boards and some of the websites, you read people talk about how expensive it is to go to an NHRA national event. Man, I was looking at our pricing, and this Friday you can buy an adult ticket, whether you bring a can or a bottle of Mellow Yellow out to the racetrack, for $12. So you can get into the racetrack. Kids 13 and under are always free at ZMAX Dragway. So it's really not that expensive to come out to the track and experience all this horsepower. You know, all your fans and listeners know that every ticket's a pit pass. Some of the best drivers, most generous people in the world as far as professional athletes with their time. And it's just, I mean, man, I can't wait for everybody to get to town. We can open the gates on Friday morning.
I hear that too. Sometimes people make those comments, and I don't understand it. In fact, it's annoying to me. I know someone in your position, Christian. You know, you let that roll off your back like water off a duck. But me, you know, doing the radio show, it's a little aggravating because I don't think you're going to get a better entertainment value for the money anywhere. You could, if you so choose, get 10 hours worth of experience, whether it be talking to John Force or getting a face full of nitro or watching racing or getting up close to a super stock car, seeing a giant wheel stand. There's always something great to do. Compare that to a 3-hour movie that when you're out the door, you've dropped $30. I just don't understand the argument. I just don't get it.
I don't think there is an argument you made. We've tried to keep our prices down, and make it affordable for families to come out. We need that next generation of drag racing fans in this world. So I really think that if people will take a look at it, you know, you click through the banner ad on the website and go just look at it. I mean, we got some great specials. We're about sold out of our top eliminator club, but we got driver appearances all weekend for a pretty modest upgrade fee. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have suite options if you want to go inside and watch the race from the comfort of the air condition. Throughout the weekend, we got the options for the fans as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of different opportunities to come out and enjoy an NHRA national event.
Are you seeing and feeling momentum? I always ask you, I feel like you guys are a good bellwether of the economy, entertainment dollar, something like Top Eliminator, a premium experience, which, by the way, the best ticket in all of motorsports, folks, NHRA Top Eliminator Club. It is so worth it. That's what we used to do when we would go to the Gator Nationals. But are you seeing momentum? Because after the U.S. Nationals and events previous, I really feel like there is positive momentum now with the economy. Yeah, sure. Maybe people aren't spending money like they once did in 1998, but they are. It seems like entertainment is still going.
It is still going. People will seek out entertainment. They'll spend their money where they feel strongly enough about it. I think the world's just changed. It constantly evolves. You look at social media and the way we consume sporting events, from whether you play fantasy football or you follow the drag racing on a weekly basis. You can get drag racing 24 hours a day. You can get almost any sport 24 hours a day. So, you know, when you look at it, you got to make the, you got to build in some creature comforts. You got to make it, accessible, and you still got to be connected when you get to the racetrack. So there's things in ongoing improvements at all eight of our facilities across the country that, you know, we're looking for long-term investment. So we have to make it as user-friendly as possible when people come to the racetrack, and they still want to send messages and update their Facebook page and, you know, check things out on Twitter. So I think that I think you just kind of have to evolve. I don't think we can do the way we did things 10 years ago. But, you know, we're thinking about that. We're constantly thinking about it. Ruben Smith's one of the greatest visionaries in probably motorsports history. So he pushes us every day of our careers to kind of get better and be better than the next guy. So we definitely take some pride at all of our Speedway Motorsports facilities on the NHRA circuit. But I think you'll see some really cool fan-friendly changes over the next year or two that make it easier and easier to enjoy an event at any of our tracks.
You guys are the benchmark facility, clearly, and I have people, when I go to other tracks like Indy this past week, people that listen to the show ask me where I think they should go next as a bucket list track, and certainly they always ask me, Z-Max, should we go to Z-Max? Z-Max and Bristol are two at the top at the list, and I think I always say yes, because, among others, because it is the next generation. It's as much as the classic facilities are great, and we love them. They have their character, like Wrigley Field and like Fenway Park. You also need the new Yankee Stadium-style places that have everything so you can see and support what the future is. And I think you guys are certainly there. I see your Nitro sessions starting at 6:30 on Friday and 70 this Saturday. I think that is great. But just the creature comforts for the family, that to me is very important these days.
It is. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of paved pit area, so it's very stroller-friendly and wagon-friendly when you bring your young kids out to the racetrack, and it's just flat, too. So, I mean, you don't climb a lot of stairs or hills or anything, and we pride ourselves in shuttles and trams and hopefully a little bit of southern hospitality for those not from this area. But it really is. We, you know, we try to do the little things right, and there's plenty of great facilities in the country. We think we're up there towards the top, but we kind of constantly improve. When there's always room for improvement. There's always notes and takeaways from the events on how we can do things better, how we can make things better for the fans. And that's kind of the mantra we lead by is, we work for the race fans. I mean, at the end of the day, they pay our bills, both from a facility standpoint and from a salary standpoint. So it's, you gotta listen to your customers. It's like any good business listens to their customers and they give people what they want. So, I don't think we'll ever stop doing that as long as this group of leadership's around.
All right, let's talk about the countdown. You know, I got to put you on the spot a little bit, but okay. I'm not going to ask your pick for the champion. I don't think I'm going to give a pick for the champion. Maybe I will. I don't know. But it's just so wide open in each class. It could go any direction. I think it almost is. It's just a guess. You know, like we could guess a name. I could pull a name out of the hat. If we want, we could put all the names in a hat, and you pick one, and I pick one. I guess more than just a pick, a thought of how it could go. Early wins could lock it down, or consistency could be what it does. This six-race sprint we've seen now, it's been won and lost in many different ways over the years.
It has. And I think when you look at the categories, you look at Matt Smith and his four bikes making it, and you got the Harleys out there that always run good and strong. You look at Pro Stock, and I've talked to a lot of the best in that class, and they think Erica's hard to beat. And I know that she didn't win in Indy, but the gray cars are making speed right now. I mean, they made it rounds back at the U.S. Nationals. But I never count out Alan Johnson Racing and Jeggy. So you're right. I mean, you get to the Nitro classes. I mean, the Coletta cars are running good. The Force cars, I mean, they swept the Western Swing, and they've been strong week in and week out. Then you got kind of Schumacher sitting in the weeds there, and you know they're going to make horsepower. You know they can get those cars down the racetrack, and then I could see their cars going on a run here that brings them another championship. So I think that it's wide open, and that's part of the I've always said I think that, you know, we got these traditional brackets, and it'd be great if we could qualify 1 through 16 on Friday and Saturday, and then have the number one qualifier pick his who he's running on Sunday morning in front of the crowd. Kind of create some rivalries, do a little twist of things. And I haven't got that one by my friends at NHRA yet, but just add some more drama. You know, if you're running good, you pick a guy and you want to beat him first round to put him on the truck. So I don't know. Maybe it's something to consider down the road. But to your point, I think that if I had to pick, I'd probably pick my buddy Antron in over in Top Fuel, and I just don't think. I think John Force, and with this ongoing sponsorship hunt, and he's out there chasing corporate America, according to him. He's going to put those cars in winner's circle, and whether it's Robert, whether it's Courtney, and whether it's John, I wouldn't put it past John Force to win another championship and be number 17.
Wow!
He's got a lot of trophies sitting out there in Yorba Linda.
I don't disagree. I can't disagree. Antron and those guys have been in the top two the past couple of years. Certainly been one of the best, second best car all year long, pretty much at times the best car. So can't disagree with that. In terms of like which would be the best story, I think maybe Doug would be the best story just because of the Conrad Coletta situation. In Funny Car, Force is never a bad story, but I also think we got a little peek into the future. Alexis beating John while at his best in the final round of the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. That was something special. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of residual attention for your race because of Alexis and all the media that they're going to focus on it. So it would be very interesting to see what happens. These night sessions, I think, are going to produce records. It's great. But let's take a second, since you brought it up, Christian. I don't bring up these ideas, but since you brought it up, that is the call-out concept. Let's do it.
I like it.
I like it, too. Simple as that. I like it. You are not the first person that I heard it from. And let's face it, the TV show that everyone is talking about that glorifies illegal street racing, unfortunately, what they don't realize is that the illegal nature of their show is not what makes it cool. What makes it cool is the friction among the personalities. And I think that can be recreated in a professional environment with what you are talking about. Perhaps starting out in a specialty race where points are not on the line. But can you imagine, Christian, if I'm a racer and you're a racer and we race together every week. And every week we race sometimes against each other, sometimes against other people. But it's pure randomness. It's just random. And friction needs to be increased a little bit. But if I start calling you, okay, I'm number one qualifier, I'm going to race Christian Bird. And then I do it again. And maybe again, that's going to bother you. That's going to get to you at some level. I think it's going to create things that we don't have currently. Professional, interesting, respectful, but a little bit of friction. Why is this guy picking me? What's going on?
A little bit of gamesmanship and a little bit of raw emotion. I mean, I think the networks have proven I don't want to create wrestling or anything else, but reality TV works, and people like to see, you know, the kind of the drama, and I just think it'd be fun to try. And maybe it is a non-points event down the road sometime, but I think it's just a twist to put into drag racing. And it really, I mean, we had the beer wars for years. You had all these classic rivalries, and man, and Snake and Mongoose, you saw them back in Indy, but you just you kind of miss some of that. And some of it's with the big teams and the multi-car teams, but I think we can rekindle a lot of that that emotion. Out at the track on Sunday morning.
And I will tell you, I have been around several conversations about this exact subject. Maybe not on Sunday race day with 16 cars, but the conversation was reflecting maybe a specialty race. It was more kind of a general conceptual conversation. And the downside argument, like the opposite, like why not to go with this, not to try it, was generally that the racers won't have the guts, that's my word, to do it the way it needs to be done in a fun way, that it will sound something like this. Are you ready? Okay. Well, all of the racers are great, and they all have great teams, and I respect them all, and I really don't want to run anybody. I don't want to call anybody out or think that I don't think that they're any good, but, you know, I have to, and it's the situation that they're putting me in. And so because they are forcing me to do it, I'm going to pick Christian Bird. But, Christian, don't take it personally. I'm sorry.
Oh, we can't have that.
Well,
maybe
I don't.
People have the fans, though. That way, let them decide who the matchups are on Sunday.
Well, I like the call out.
I agree with you, and then that would probably happen.
But they would be punished, though. Don't you think they would be punished? Like any driver that does what I just did, don't you think they would be punishing themselves? Don't you think the fans would say to them immediately, that was terrible?
I do. People like you mentioned, friction. They want to see rivalries. They want to see people that don't like each other. They want to see Clay Milliken and Doug Herbert burning each other down on the starting line. I mean, you go to racetracks all the time, Joe. What's the best, you know, the biggest probably applause throughout the weekend is when you have a staging battle and people are up there on the starting line and they're running out of time and the starter's trying to hurry them up and the crowd's on their feet. I mean, you can't tell me that the fans don't respond to that stuff. So, yeah, they got to buy in, and I don't think they'd be punished, but the fan, you got to give the fans what they want. It goes back to the previous statement, and we work for our race fans. And we can't have these races without our race fans up in those grandstands. So at the end of the day, it's a good business decision to give the customers what they want.
And if it doesn't work out, we don't have to ever do it again.
Right. We can always do it different next time.
Exactly. I like where you're coming from, Christian. I really like the idea. It is out there. People are talking about it as a concept in various locations. So, hey, everybody who's listening who has had this conversation with me, this is going on everywhere. We are not the only ones. Christian brought it up on this show. It is something to think about. I really like it. Christian, give the information. Where can the WFO Radio listeners get their tickets for the Pep Boys NHRA Carolina Nationals and come hang out with us?
They can call our ticket office at 1-800-455-FANS or log on to ZMAXDragway.com. And I will remind the listeners, if they're not currently following us on social media, whether it be Twitter or Facebook, go ahead and do that. If you're coming out to the event, we got some great giveaways, some cool experiences. We're going to give people some rides and some two-seaters that are our social media friends and followers. So be sure to do that. You'll also get really helpful information throughout the weekend on track schedules and other entertainment options.
Absolutely. And I just saw Ron Capps giving away an autographed Ron Capps hat on ZMAX Dragway's Twitter feed, and I decided to not try to win it because, you know, I don't want to take it from a fan. You know, I'd win it.
Probably. We'll get you a hat.
No, I got one. I'm good. But I just the fact you're following on Twitter, next thing you know, you got a chance to win an autographed Ron Capps hat. That's cool.
We got hats. We got pictures. We got all kinds of autographed memorabilia. But definitely, I think we've come up with some really clever and cool things for this weekend. And make it out to the track. Like I said, tickets are affordable, and we can't wait to see you there.
Christian, thank you very much for taking the time with us on WFO Radio. I'll see you this weekend.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Christian Bird with us here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. And folks, now that is a show. Christian Bird, Tony Schumacher, Bill Simpson, Michael Ray, Eddie Krawick, Shane Gray, Alan Reinhardt. That's how we do it on WFO Radio. If you've gotten to this point, you like what you heard, subscribe to the show. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can leave a positive review. Do you know that all the Apple stuff works? If you leave a very positive 5-star glowing review, they elevate you so that other users can see it. That's how the app has been working. And that is how the podcast works on iTunes. So a very positive, glowing, happy review is always appreciated and helps other people find us. Tweeting, retweeting, repeating, subscribing. We're available on Stitcher. We're available on TuneIn. The Twitter accounts. Tweet out the links. We are really leaning heavily on the internet. Some people have asked, they're like, well, do you try to get on regular radio? And the answer is we've done that before. We've been there before. We're targeting racing fans. Where are the racing fans? The racing fans are on the internet. That's where they are. And so we are targeting racing fans for this community. We have the Ignition Show, which is tomorrow. We're going to talk all about Brad Keselowski's just dominating victory in Richmond. We're going to talk about that Looney Tune that climbed up on the fence. What was he doing there? We're going to talk about the Chase playoff system that ends right here in my hometown at Homestead Miami Speedway. All kinds of great stuff going on over the next couple of weeks. It's playoffs time in the racing world, both in the NHRA and in NASCAR. We're going to cover it heavily. Hopefully you will join us every week. Listen to the show. They might be a little longer. They might be a little shorter. Some of them are going to be on location. As I mentioned, Charlotte, Dallas, Reading. We're going to do stuff from there. Some of them, we're going to get them on the phone. And we're going to go right through the off season. If you want to help the show, you can click on our sponsors. You can order some coffee from Marvin. You can go to the Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Of course, just going to the race this weekend at ZMAX Dragway. Clicking the banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com, a big deal. Our great friends at Redline Oil. If you haven't heard the entire U.S. Nationals behind-the-scenes audio, check it out. Absolute great stuff. But more importantly, we really get ramped up starting now. It's countdown time. It's playoff time. We are ready. We're going to be all over it. Hopefully you guys, as WFO Radio listeners, absolutely enjoy what we're about to do. Big thanks to Christian Bird, Tony Schumacher for coming on the show. Huge thanks to Bill Simpson, safety icon, for coming on the show. Big thanks to Michael Ray for breaking some news on the show. Whole new deal going on this weekend. Eddie Krawick, Shane Gray for sharing their U.S. national victories with us. And, of course, Alan Reinhardt for starting it all off by answering a couple of your questions. You can always send questions for Reinhardt and your thoughts and opinions to the show. You can call the wide open line. You can even send in for some free stickers. We've got a lot of stuff going on here at WFO Radio. Big thanks to everyone behind the scenes, Patrick the webmaster, Giovanni in Miami, and everybody that helps out with WFO Radio. We certainly appreciate you, all you listeners out there. Thank you very much for all the positive and kind comments that you send behind the scenes. We certainly appreciate it. That's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.